Yeah, it's recording now.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Jim. December 16th, 2019, Town Road Planning Board. Currently, we are without a quorum at the moment, so asked if Jerry would help with a few notes. He did an excellent job previously, so that's what happens when you do a good job and get your two bits. So thanks.
Oh, good deed goes on.
That's right, and we recognize that. With a review of our minutes from the regular planning board meeting from November 18th, 2019, I give folks a minute to refresh their memory on that and ask if you have any additions, deletions, or corrections to the 11-18-19 minutes.
Town of Moreau, which allows manufacturing. The
manufacturing by way of brewing is allowed as a matter of right in this zoning district. Because it meets the qualifications for a farm brewery under the Ag and Markets Law, we also inquired as to whether the Ag and Markets Law would allow us to have a tap room and have direct sales of farm brewed beer. And so we asked the Department of Ag and Markets to opine on that for the planning board. And on November 18th, they sent a letter, which was partially read into the record last time, confirming that this would be a farm brewery as they look at it, which means that we would be allowed to do on-site direct sale of beer. The purpose of what we're here for tonight is a public hearing for site plan review. We have previously provided a lot of information to the board, including a short form EAF at your request. We provided that as well as substantial additional environmental information, although we believe this is a type 2 or an exempt action because it affects it. We're proposing to build less than 4,000 square feet, just the four. And I think that brings us current to today. I'm going to ask Dominic to come up and address the questions from last time.
Good evening, Dominic Rico at CTML. We put together a letter on December 12th and submitted to Jim regarding some of the matters that were asked of us to present to the board prior to the public hearing this evening. The first one was the water supply of the well. We have reiterated with the Department of Health prior to this date, but also additionally after this date, we have more conversation with them, stating basically the Department of Health's requirements in this matter will be for the domestic use only, not the water being used for the brewery, just the water being used for restaurants in general. So there will require some additional permitting testing for water quality and treatment, if anything like that needs to be done. Again, it can't be done until we make the formal application and until we have a approved site. We wouldn't make that. There's a lot of testing in for chloroform type stuff and sulfurs and things like that. Things that health department would want out of the domestic water supply. And it's mainly just for the sinks that are in the restrooms. All the water being used primarily for the brewery, so it wouldn't be under the health department's regulations at that point. The other part of it was about sprinklers, and we were going to need sprinklers for the building. We did research the building code a little further in detail based on the size of the structure, the size of the use, the amount of employees, the occupancy. It's a group F2 low hazard occupancy. This is all. I'm just summarizing at this point that there would not require sprinklers. The only thing that would require if there was some form of storage of a hazardous material, which we don't have. And so it would not require sprinklers, so we would not require any kind of higher demand on the well. The other issue was the traffic and research with similar breweries. Rachel, prior to this letter, December 12th, did some a pretty full range email to, I believe, about 100 breweries, and we had 11 of them, or actually, we had 11 respond, but only 7 responders were in the same category as we are with the tap room. Other ones were restaurants, things like that, which we don't have here. I might categorize that in this letter in a chart of what the responses were. Excuse me. And again, the peak hour and the amount of customers and traffic were well below what we were estimating at 54 in our traffic study. So that, again, is in the letter. We've confirmed from several breweries that the collection I estimated here 44 trips, and we've been using 54 based on the ITE. So I feel the number we've given is more than adequate to what the traffic demand would be. The last item was about events. I'll just read this. It'd be easier for me to read this at this point. The applicant has taken the opportunity to assume events that may take place at the brewery. The applicant has also requested a list of events from similar breweries to aid in event opportunities. The following is what we're presenting. These are just events that were, we know other breweries do that, we will probably do the same. Live music one to two times per week, and that's just a small music event inside the brewery. Thursday night game night, snacks provided, or they bring snacks to share. Book releases with feature authors, drafts and crafts around holidays, pick your own pumpkins, pumpkin carving, and special beer releases, especially around holidays. Those are the similar events that I believe the brewery will follow, the range of similar things like that. So it's not an event every week, but their holidays and special occasion events will be something going on. That was pretty much the information we had. If there's something else that I believe I missed or would like me to add to now, I can surely do that.
Yeah, Dominic, let me just add for a second on the DOH. The DOH, one of the DOH inspectors actually came to the facility today to take a look at the well and the location of the existing septic for the house and the proposed septic for the what I'll call the toilets and sinks and taps to draw water at the brewery, not for the brewery part, but for the tap room. The well was fine. There was no problems with its construction. They indicated a safety seal would have to be added at the top, which the driller can do, no problem. And they didn't have any concerns about the well or the use of the water. What Dominic mentioned are tests that we have to do, just like before you get a certificate of occupancy for a house, where you have to test the well for various substances that can be found in wells. And that basically the other thing is we sent all of the information that Dominic had produced with the driller regarding the well to the Department of Health. So we're well along the way of having them review everything. They've received it, and they've been out to the site to look at the separation distance between the septic and the well.
Board, any further questions for Dominic? Thank you. Based on the new sentence that we had from the last time, or Jim?
Sure.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I got one. We just sent the DOA for you while you sent down the pump curve and everything, and that's all that, and so they got it off.
Okay. Yes. Right. It was after this letter, that's why I was not in on that.
Okay. You sent the curve to them.
We sent the whole, everything we submitted to the town, all the data and that.
Okay, thank you.
When you talked about events, you mentioned indoor events. Will there be, you said you would be in those small musical events in the building, in the brewery, or here on the tap. Are there plans for outside also?
Well, some of those, like the pick your pumpkin and all
that. I'm talking about the musical events. I understand pumpkins are usually outside. Okay. I'm saying you just mentioned indoors. Will there be outdoor musical events?
I'm not sure if there are.
Well, I guess.
I mean, the intent is a small part of that.
But I understand we're doing an acoustic event, whereas I'm mistaken by that. It can be mechanically, amplified music also.
We're not aware of any limitation on having amplified music, and okay. We couldn't say that there would never be, a group of people playing music on
sure.
the porch, in
okay.
the summer when it's nice. There is a town noise limit at the property boundary, and we understand we would have to comply with that limit.
Well, I guess my concern with events is that it's one thing when we can look at a quantified 700 square foot tap room, an interior space. I don't know, like, for example, here locally, if any of you have ever gone to the Thursday night food truck event at the former Troy Shirt Factory in Glens Falls, there is easily 300 or 400 people there with 8 food trucks. I mean, that transforms, you know, an area. Now, I have no skin in this game. I just want an accurate portrayal for this board and for the public of what's to be expected with this facility. We understand the inside.
Yeah, we're not proposing anything remotely like that.
Okay.
I mean, all we're talking about is, look, when the beer is served, the beer is served inside. Okay, and if it's like in the brew pubs I go to at the door, it says, don't take your alcohol outside, okay? So the question was, if you are on the porch and somebody, a string band is playing, you know, what's the harm in that in the summer?
I just want to have further detail, you know, about the magnitude and scope of the events, because we're talking about, you know, what is the magnitude and scale here? Because we have virtually a limitless, you know, outside here. This is a large expanse, and I just want to make sure that we have an accurate representation of, you know, what these events are going to be.
We did our very best in that list.
Because I've gone another way. I went to a farm brewery website in Vermont, and they have events virtually every weekend. And it started out as just a tap room, and it's now much bigger. And there's a lot of events. Well, and there's food trucks go hand in hand. From what I saw, their experiences there. It was a nice complimentary thing. The food wasn't prepared on site, per se, but I just want to make sure we have an accurate representation of the full scope and magnitude of these events.
Well, we have certainly tried to describe and show a 700 square foot tap room. We also have a certain amount of parking, which we've proposed, which also limits us. We have given you a list of events. We've talked about what our intentions are. Ag and markets limits the amount of beer and that can be sold at the place, which also limits the extent to which you can have farm products. Limits the, you know, the amount of people that you can have through there.
Well, for example, Teresa, so would it be a fair restriction on this site plan to say that there cannot be music out in the yard?
I don't... You mean other than on the porch?
Yes.
There's no problem on the porch, but are you going to be a small band, you know, playing outside?
On a temporary stage outside, or
in the parking lot, or...
No, we're not planning on temporary stages outside. That's not part of the
okay,
plan.
Okay, but would a band go out? Would a group of musicians go outside, not have be on a stage, but out and play? Or are you going to limit them to on the porch or within the building?
Well,
or you don't want to do that?
If you don't, that's fine. I just want to make sure we understand what this is.
Would you prefer that we put a box on the plan saying we won't have musicians?
No. I think once again, it's the scope of attendance.
Right.
How many people are going to show up at an event? Limits. It's going to be 100 people there, 75 people there, a 300-person event, a 500-piece.
There's 3.7 acres, there's 700 square feet of the tap room. There's 35 parking spaces. We gave you numbers from other breweries, which you had asked us to do, which was the traffic.
But I'm asking what you, I understand what they did.
Right.
We're trying to understand what you would do. Would a corn maze be something
you
would do?
No, absolutely no.
Okay.
No one does that.
Okay.
There's a lot of corn mazes. Okay, so I have just a couple. Okay, one for
clarification. Sure. I think what I'm hearing back in response to the board's question is you feel like you've given us the amount of detail that you would understand and what we would need at this point to review the plan. Do you feel like you've summarized the events that you can anticipate at this point? Is that fair?
Yes, that's
sorry,
John. That's okay. I need some help with some terms of cloud. You mentioned a well safety seal. Do you know what that is?
It's just a sealed cap on the top so nothing can get in. You can't put anything in or any ropes.
With that said, it was brought up at the last meeting, the proximity of livestock to the current well.
Yeah.
Okay. And I had mentioned that as far as I knew, you needed to keep livestock at a minimum of 50 feet from the well. Livestock or their excrement. Mm-hmm. We had to actually have a fence that far well off.
Yeah, and we...
Is that something that you can...
Yeah, I think we said we would be happy to move that. It was really just to show that we think this is a safe place to keep livestock.
Okay, so when the Mylars come in, maybe you can just show a dotted line. You can show that 50-foot exclusion.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
That's it for you, too. I don't know if it's ever a problem if they like to err on the side of caution on that. You mentioned something about ag and markets limiting the quantity of beer that can be sold from the facility. That's not...
They limit the amount of non-farm products by a percent of your gross sales for the night.
51% of what you sell has to be on-farm product.
No, 30. You cannot gross more than 30% of sales for the night from non-farm products.
Okay.
51% of the ingredients that makes your beer has to come from your farm.
Okay.
Is it farm?
New York product, right?
For a New York product, yes.
Not from your farm.
No. From my farm. For Ag and Markets 305A, yes.
It has to come from your farm.
From my farm.
To be clear,
sure.
In order to qualify as a farm brewery, the product that you brew has to be made with 51% of the grains from your or products from your farm. It doesn't have to be from this particular farm. It can be from your other, also part of the net of the farm. However, you're also allowed to sell farm brews from other breweries and farm distilled products from other distilleries at your taproom.
As long as they're licensed
as New
York farm,
licensed farm breweries,
or distilleries, cideries.
And that was just for clarification, yep. Not position of any kind. If I'm trying to get kind of a handle on what Jim was going for here, do you plan to have one of our board members send us a thing about this one brewery she saw in Vermont, how awesome it was? People were all over the lawn on blankets enjoying the product. What you're saying is you're seriously limiting the alcohol consumption to inside the building? And if that's the case, what is the point of the 750-foot deck or square-foot deck? And I'm just asking that because I'm curious. There's a 700-foot tap room and a 750-foot deck.
The porch, yes. Yeah, people can drink out there.
Oh, porch, like. You're going to put a roof over?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a porch, good. All right. And I'm fine with it. I mean, that's not my business one way or the other, but it was mentioned that all the alcohol that's on the door, there's a sign that says the alcohol can't leave the building. So people are going to come in and have a beer in the tap room, and then they're going to go sit on the deck, or are they planning... to take, are you expecting
them? I'm just speaking from my experience of the farm brewery. I was there this weekend.
Okay.
So whatever the SLA tells us about hours of operation and where people can consume beer, we will follow those requirements.
Yeah, it's not out of the ordinary for a bar to have bar to have an outdoor seating thing.
Right.
As long as it's
right.
Contained and under control of the bartender, whoever's serving the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So then there isn't really a plan to have outdoor seating, like people going and setting up picnic tables or picnic blankets or whatever.
No.
The other question I have is for the engineer, and I just want to make sure this was on record. You have on the map that you have sight lines from the driveway. Okay.
Yes.
And at a previous meeting, you mentioned, remember, the measurements are measured from 42 inches off the ground.
I missed the first part.
You mentioned that the sight lines are measured from 42 inches off the ground.
At the vehicle.
At the vehicle. Right. And that makes sense because you're sitting up in the vehicle. I made it a point when I traveled over that road the one day, and I went down into the spot where this driveway would be located. Sight lines to the top of the hill are really great. You have good visibility. From my truck, and it's well over 42 inches high, I can see the top of the overpass. I can't see anything between that and where this driveway is supposed to be.
We have to, and you're looking at something that's 36 to 2 feet to 36 inches off the ground as well.
Okay.
When we do these steps, we literally put some on the ground. So you're not looking, so looking down the road, you can see over a hump and see further down the road if you're 2 feet high. So it's hard to do while you're just sitting in the car without having that actual obstacle out on the road. Right, so, which we did. So we can see. So
you, by putting this on the map, you're certifying those sight lines with that.
Correct. Okay.
That's what I wanted to just be sure was on the record when you're certifying it. I'm not sure, but I'll take your word for it. I'm going to assume you like your license. I guess you want us to put on a plan that you're going to limit music to the building or the deck. To be honest with you, I don't know if I want to see that. I don't think it's outrageous for us to ask you to have a maximum capacity limit for your events. I know your parking is very limited and all, but if that's the case, then you have a general idea of how many people you're hoping are going to come. All right. You have a capacity of 700 feet plus another 750, but there's room to mill around a little bit. I would think that it wouldn't be outrageous for us to ask for you to put a maximum capacity number for how many people you plan to have. For your sake, you might want to have that. There could be a point where the driveway is full of cars and more people are trying to get in, and you just don't have the room for it. If you make a really good beer, and a lot of people show up. That's just my opinion.
Are you talking about inside, outside? What maximum capacity do you mean? Because the building itself will have a maximum rated capacity, the building and the porch, and that's set by the certificate of occupancy. So if
what the concern is that the events become larger than the property can handle.
Okay.
You have a successful idea and many more people than you expect to show up. We want what's the I think the neighbor is looking for a limitation. Not trying to hinder you, but what we're looking for is something that you'll say, all right, we'll keep up, let's say 300 people. That's the most maximum we'll have for an event, and then we'll have to politely turn them away or something along those lines. So we know that there's a limit. And we're not
okay.
I think that makes it fair for everybody.
Or at the very least, I would suggest or recommend that the plan show no parking signs on the West Road. The reason I say this is there's a place in a farm in the town of Rural right now, which I really like, and they're good people, and I'm glad they're successful. But when they hold events, they have cars parked on both sides of the Rural Road, including up to a hill that's really dangerous. And to be honest with you, if you get 35 cars in there, and I hope if this is good and you're successful, I hope you get a good business, okay? But if you get 35 cars and there's no place to park and they start lining up out on the road, we have a serious health and safety issue then. The visibility there is not okay for parking there. So at least it would be nice to see no parking with signs.
Can I pop in here for a second? The applicant can't decide whether it's no parking. That's a town board decision.
But the town can petition, or the applicant can petition the town and ask them to put them there.
It would be a local law that would have to be changed. It can't just be we're going to do it right here. Unless they want to agree to it, but other than that, no, that's a town board decision. That's not your call, sorry.
Recommend that to the board.
Well, let us on the capacity issue. Let us talk to Ag and Markets and see, what maximum capacity they've been, imposed on other breweries, and we'll take it from there.
Okay.
line of question, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I'd like to get more understanding of how you're dealing with your wastewater.
Did you get the email? Did you send the email out
tonight? I just sent it out. When did you send it? Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just distributed it today. So.
How are you going to deal with it?
Okay, this is actually very simple. So they own a tanker truck,
mm-hmm.
and whenever they brew, because mm-hmm. they brew periodically, mm-hmm. they will be there with the tanker truck so that when there are waste, the waste go directly into the truck, into the tanker, and then they're hauled off site once the tanker is full.
My concerns are, one, where are you going to have a spot on the site plan where it's going to be parked? Two, when the weather is below zero or sub-zero, how that's going to not have any problems, because it isn't a continual flow situation. It's going to be probably on a float, and when it gets to a certain capacity, push over.
No, the amount we would be producing in a single brewing event is not enough to overflow a tanker by any stretch. We do, and the weather, quite frankly, you can be below zero. My last brewery in Patchogue, we'd see regularly below zero temperatures. We had outside storage tanks which we would pump out. And you have to keep in mind that what we're pumping is generally, 100 degrees, 90 degrees, so you don't get freezing in those pipes. So when you're pumping it, it's basically thawing itself. It's only when it's resting, but once it's resting, it's then being removed from our facility, because at that point we're done with it.
Have you got a decision where it's going to go?
It'll go to a duly licensed DEC facility.
Yeah, we haven't picked a vendor yet.
Yeah.
Are you considering the Glens Falls sewer firm?
No. Okay.
So in our case, for the purposes of the board, I think a couple of the questions that Reed raised could add applicability in terms of how connections are made, whether there's secondary containment that would be provided, or what type of catchment might be provided.
We did include that in the email, correct? Yes. Yeah. So there would be catchment underneath the connect-disconnect point for that purpose.
So we might just look to see a note or a reference on the plan to that effect in the final.
It'll be on the separate diagram that Tim prepared. Yeah.
And then to Reed's other point in terms of potential truck location or truck access, that would be the thing that from the board review perspective is reasonable from a site plan review. And then beyond that, what happens with the truck when it leaves, then that's kind of back to your team to manage, right? So.
These are keep in mind that these are farm trucks. They are registered with the farm.
Understood.
CDL drivers are all, everything's up to date. So they're still farm vehicles.
We're just looking at
it's going to be on the site
overall.
It'll be parked right outside the
road.
Jim has the layout, so once he forwards it to you guys, you should be able to see it.
Have you decided on what size system you could have added?
We put in that email. I'm very sorry that you didn't get it ahead of time. There was something wrong with my Gmail, so it got lost in outer space. But I did have it prepared for you last week. I'm really sorry you didn't get it. But we just assumed a 10-barrel brewing system to be conservative.
To be conservative.
Mm-hmm. So that full 3,000 gallons you would need at one time, everything we've been telling you up to this point, is based off a 10-barrel brewing system.
So how much square footage is, you have 700 square footage for the tasting room cafe. Mm-hmm. How much square footage is being associated with the brewery?
Approximately 1,200.
Three.
So the truck that's going to come pick it up is a 5,600
tanker. No truck. No trailer.
Okay, but it's a tractor trailer.
Correct.
You're going to be able to come in one driveway and out the other and not have to back in off the road.
Correct. We don't back in off the road now on that scary driveway. So.
Okay. You just like to ask us.
So on the site plan, you have a location where the truck, the tank, will be parked.
No,
well,
I never have it.
We're showing that on the diagram.
Will it be on the site plan?
Well, it's on the site plan.
Well, my understanding is it's going to be different. Still going to be moved.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So, I'm interested.
So where's, so the answer to the question is, where is it going to be parked? And will that be loaded on the,
it'll be parked here while it's loaded, it'll be parked here.
You want us to show a parking space for the truck?
We just have a loading and unloading area on the map, so if you...
That's what I'm asking. I don't think that was... I don't think that's asking too much.
Is that asphalt pad that's shown?
Yes, there's an asphalt pad.
It's out here, right? I mean, I'm back to the brewery, this is the brewery. The truck would come in this way, back up, then...
The tractor trailer can make that swing in the parking lot?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, normally we ask for radius, so we can see that it can make that swing, so...
Yeah, this isn't a full-size trailer like a box trailer. The tankers are smaller, they have different turning radiuses, the wheel base is totally different, so it's a whole... It's not the same.
A 5,600 gallon tanker, or milk tanker, it's a 48.
Yeah, but it's based on the wheel base, the turn of the wheels, where the section of the wheels...
The wheels are a lot further back on that.
I can show it on here, but I just...
Well, not just asking,
it'll work.
If you have the turn.
I don't have it on here, but it would. I know it wouldn't work.
In fact, you could come up and then pull right through the fence, or the gate and come right back out on the road, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like it's a problem with access. I just want to know... Where are you planning?
Can you just show us how you plan it?
Yep. So, Rachel, is it a small milk truck, a regular milk tanker, or is it a tanker with a attached to a cab?
It is what you would see pull into a dairy farm to put milk on. It's a tanker trailer.
Well, I mean, do they have big ones, and you have...
No, it's a tractor trailer.
It's a tractor. It's a tractor.
Okay, so, yeah. So all right.
There's the cats. There's the family. Yeah, they call it fifth wheel. Yeah.
And there's lots of room. I just wanted to make sure we knew where.
Well, I don't think it was a regular full size tractor trailer. It just has a total different because the cats.
So when it's parked there, will it affect any flow of traffic?
It should not. There's a gate there that says no exit.
So, with that, we're going to go ahead and we're going to move forward with our public hearing.
I didn't mean to. So you correlate that with the total pictures. With what I see in this drawing, it's unisex. And that's going to limit you quite a bit. And in particular, if you have events, are you proposing a portable toilet?
If portable toilets, if they're necessary, we would use.
The design is not based on the amount of fixtures, it's based on the capacity.
The number of
seats.
Fixtures, but the number of occupants. If you have a main section, you're going to be very small. And I don't have a figure to talk about that. Something to look at. If you do, you have enough toilets. Because the public is not going to be traipsing through the brewery to use the toilet facilities. They're only going to access from the tap.
Yeah, we're not having...
showing one.
Correct.
So that's a unisex.
No,
that's going to be very limited.
The
only one that's shown from the tap room is one. The other side is the storage. According to this, isn't it?
Okay.
So you've got one small, so that makes it a unisex. I don't think you're going to limit it to just one sex.
It'll be a handicap.
You also have to have a sufficient number of toilets and water and expansive.
If we do need to add another bathroom, we'll come up in the building code review.
I'm sure.
Then we can, but it wouldn't increase our design demand on the police motor system.
So our system is designed, if we need to add another bath for that, for the occupancy, and then we would might have to, I don't know.
Better dressing for the closet, yeah.
Understood.
So, based on your attendance of an event, how many, you know, how, is there probably DOHers probably have something to do with how many toilets per people?
Once we're assigned a building occupancy, we'll, you know, obviously go to building code and install the number of toilets that we have to meet that occupancy.
It's building code will, what will be mandated for. Size of the bathroom, how many fixtures we need, handicaps, all that will be.
And the square footage will give you the maximum occupancy.
Maximum occupancy as well, correct.
Excuse me, we have that in our zoning, don't we? We have that in our zoning, right? The square footage in the zoning?
It's in
the building. Can tell us how much occupancy?
No, it's in the building. It's in the building code. It's not the zoning.
No, state.
In the state building code. Yeah. Yep.
So if we can do some simple math and know what that number is.
Mm-hmm. I'm not doing simple math, but see, sure.
But the math is quite simple. That if you have X amount of square feet.
I don't know, Reed, but I know whatever the applicant is advising the board that they will do whatever they're legally required to do.
Maybe that should be put on the site plan if we know.
Well, they're legally obligated to do it.
Yeah,
we can't open without having the certificates in place.
What I'm trying to say is even if we needed four bathrooms by building code, you still have enough wastewater system design.
Okay, that's not...
It has nothing to do with the interior of the building.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Understood.
Peter, do you have another point?
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, sorry. Good? Alright, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to move forward with the public hearing, and before we do, yes, Donna, please sit. We're going to lay out a few ground rules for folks so that everyone has a clear understanding of how this will want to try to flow. So this is the newly noticed public hearing for, at the time, Richard McDermott and Seed Farm Education. We provided a sign-in sheet in the back at the entrance, and we asked folks if they please print their name and indicate if they had a desire to speak at the meeting. So as we get started, I'm going to call you to speak in the order in which you signed in. We're going to offer everyone 5 minutes to speak regarding the application. Once everybody on the list has been given an opportunity to speak, the hearing will then be opened up to anyone who hasn't spoken yet. Again, as a reminder, if you do speak at any time, we'll ask that you please state your name and your address for recording purposes. After everyone who has a desire to speak has been given the opportunity, then the applicant can address the board. After the applicant has addressed the board will decide whether to continue with the public hearing, whether we have any follow-up questions, or whether we'd like to close the public hearing. This is a public hearing, so it's the opportunity for the board to hear from the public regarding the application. All speakers are asked to direct their comments to this board. This is not a time for a debate between the applicant and the public. The applicant is going to have the ability to respond to the comments after the public portion is complete. In the interest of trying to be efficient and respectful of your time to allow everyone who wishes to speak on all the issues to do so, if your comment has already been made by another member of the public, please simply indicate as such. We'll expect everyone to act with decorum, courtesy, and respect to one another. Anyone that's not acting within these rules may be asked to leave the premises. So for my fellow planning board members, this is an opportunity for us to sit back and absorb the data and perspectives that are being offered by our community members, not to engage in debate as well. So with that, go ahead and we'll open up the public hearing. And I'm going to start with Margaret Durka at 13 McCory Way. Thank you. 13 McCory Way in the Answer, and Margaret has asked to speak.
Yes, and as I told you, I have photographs to pass through the board members. I'm concerned about the road, mostly, at safety of the road. And so I printed out 21 satellite images of the breweries in the Capital District. and not one of them was on any form of rural road. They were all on a public access road. In addition, they were not near residents and certainly not farm animals. And so I do have all of these Google Earth pictures.
Thank you, Margaret. So what we'll do is we'll pass them down through the board so the board members can take a look. And then as your time then will likely last, we'll allow them to be distributed. And we'll just ask them to be make their way back to you by the end of the night.
Yes, and then you can have them for your...
Okay, we'll just have them come back to the board when we're done. Thanks.
In addition, I went up to Waynesburg where I was investigating breweries. And they're building one on Route 20 there, which is, again, a public road. And it seems to be very similar to the McDermott project. And it had, again, the access, I have all these pictures, all straight, coming in, no farms, no houses nearby. It appeared to have all sorts of, here's again, road flats coming in to it. Nice building that they're building. They have a little porch for events. But it probably parks about 100 cars. And also I went around looking at it, and they have a machine. The chiller must operate around the clock. And I took a picture of it because it contains propylene glycol, which if it were to break, would potentially get into people's wells. I believe that is antifreeze to keep it from freezing.
What is it called?
Propylene glycol. Well, I thought that's what we had to put in water to when I built my house. I didn't use it because it was antifreeze. So it's a potential health hazard. And then it had a picture. I was able to take a picture inside of what their tap room was looking like. But again, there is nothing around it. And it's on a major road. So I didn't find a single one of the farm breweries, of which there are actually 400 in the capital district, that were on any form of rural road, which I think is a potential problem, especially with livestock, and also plowing concerns. You know, plowing to the brewery on a rural road is a concern as well. So I have road issue concerns, let alone patron noise, etc. But I'm looking mostly at the road itself and where these breweries are. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, I have, I think it's Joyce Cody. And I'm not sure about the address. I think it's Thomas Road.
I'm Joyce Cole. I live at Lily Morgan Horse Farm on 70 Thomas Road. And I'm impressed by these meetings that it feels like the applicant is not trying to take the neighborhood into consideration and make something that appeals to the neighborhood. That's just my opinion, and it's striking. The other one is I'm a little bit uncertain about if the tap room and the porch have an occupancy of, is it 35 or 45?
Once again, you need to direct to us.
35 or 45, the occupancy, 700 feet. If it's limited in occupancy to 35 or 45 people to be served in, they can go out and more can come in. So you might need people there. So I'd like to see the board make a limitation of the number of people who could be served, if the liquor board allows it. Also, I'm concerned about the other distilled spirits that could be distributed there, not just their own. I'm going to read the letter that I wrote and I think it'll be in the paper. I'm one of the neighbors who have directly opposed this development, but have been shouted down by more powerful and well-connected interests in New York State, who are not residents of this community. The big developer of this has been trying to promote this project as a craft brewery. However, placing such a facility in a small farm community where people come to drink and drive is not in the best interest of this agricultural community. Hop Farm is appropriate with a drinking facility elsewhere in the commercial area, such as on Route 9, where they're trying to develop an enterprise zone. Here are my concerns. Old West Road is a narrow, hilly road, and the site is atop a hill with limited driving visibility from either direction. The direct neighbors are a large horse boarding and eventing farm, a large horse breeding farm, residential homes with small children, and homes with elderly residents. Not a good spot for a drinking facility, and New York State's liability if they approve this bar. Furthermore, the waste from the building will be hauled in large trucks on the narrow roads that are clogged already by the large garbage trucks, speeding to the waste transfer facilities on Washburn Road and in Northumberland on the route to Petersburg, which is used as a regional dump by waste management. Northumberland residents are not happy about this, and will have more use of that dump. The bright lighting, traffic, and noise from proposed music and entertainment events will disrupt the rural character of our community. Several neighbors have moved here and developed their farms to escape urban noise and have moved from urban areas to have a rural life, including me. And of course, the possibility of drunk driving is a big issue for us. This started out as a tasting room, now it's a tap room. Tasting room might have people come taste by food. Now it's a bar with entertainment. Surely drunk driving will be an issue for us and for Moreau and for the overserved police force in Moreau. Furthermore, we believe that the brewery has presented very weak research and arguments, and they have done poor research on waste and water use. They are proposing a small septic situation to manage the brewery and the human restrooms and a residence. And with water tests of 2 gallons per minute, that will surely not satisfy the demands of a 3,000-gallon tank needed to be kept full for brewing, bathrooms, and fire protection. And the town is not insisting on a water or wastewater evaluation to protect the water table drawdown and percolation of waste to protect the neighboring existing horse farms and neighbors. The developer and attorney argues that water evaluation would be too expensive at the last meeting. How expensive will it be for the rest of us who are left with breached water aquifers to drill new wells and put in new filtering systems? At the very least, we want a full traffic study and a full water study, and we want the developer to listen to people who actually live here and aren't telling lies about their address. I hope you'll take this position on us as voters, stakeholders, and New York residents.
Next up is, I believe it's Eleanor Stein, yeah. And that's a 210 Walker.
Yes, it is. I've been watching a lot of movies lately, especially this Christmas season. And as I've watched It's a Wonderful Life and Scrooge this season, I have a new insight. I have a new name for the Old West Brewery project. It's the Potter Scroogery. Because Mr. Potter, in his wonderful life, didn't care about his neighbors, his town, or anything but his pocketbook. And Scrooge didn't care about anything but money, too. Potter stole the money from his savings and loan and didn't care. This project is stealing our way of life, our security, and our tranquility. How many times have we heard the people sponsoring this project say, I want to make money. The land has to make money. If it doesn't make money, I won't do it. Shouting about the money and how she has to make money. Well, it sounds just like Mr. Potter or Scrooge, and they are trying to take our rural life and turn it into a loud, busy, untenable place to live. Our little corner of Moreau will become like Pottersville, with houses we cannot sell and land we cannot raise crops on because we have tainted water or no water. And who will care? Just the neighbors who live here and have to bear the decisions of the Ag and Market Board and the Planning Board? I am pleading with the Planning Board to look into the real project. This is an inch-by-inch project. They will get something. And we are pretty certain that their close contacts on the Ag and Market Board will push through the project. And then what? The other inches are the amphitheater, more parking, later hours, full concert, weekend camping, food truck rallies. Stop what you can now because soon it will be too late. Ask the important questions. Find out more about this water quality and flow. Don't just listen to what they say. You have some kind of study done. Find out more about the traffic on this road. Don't listen when he says it's a 360-foot visibility. It isn't. You cannot see over that hill going this way. You cannot see over the hill going this way. You cannot take the curve onto 9 without a lot of trouble. Get more information. Don't let them try to shorten the process. There is a process. Use it. Thank you.
Next up is Harvey's done at 210 Washington Road.
Hi. There are several points I would like to address regarding this brewery. As stated in previous testimony, there is an issue with the existing well and the ability to deliver the quantity of water over a period of time. My question is, what type of fire suppression system is actually required? When I spoke with Jim last week regarding this, he hadn't heard of any issues regarding the fire suppression. He's waiting to hear. I spoke with him just before the meeting, and he had no information regarding that. And I don't know if Common Roots in South Glens Falls had any sort of fire suppression system, such as sprinklers. If they did not, I see Reed shaking his head. If you have a fire there, and it's always a possibility, burning through that roof, it will lead directly to the woods behind the dry crops that may or may not be there depending on the time of year, and it could easily, with certain winds, bring it right to the northway. Secondly, with vehicles drive on Old West, particularly at night, in my opinion, is an accident waiting to happen. Couple this with winter weather, and I foresee disasters. Food and food trucks must be clearly defined. It would be a mistake to assume that a food truck is purely a vehicle that brings in prepared food. The modern-day food truck is a kitchen on wheels, allowing food trucks at the brewery would, in effect, be open in the restaurant. The taproom is the seating, the food truck is the kitchen. And a few more trucks, and you have a food court. Retail sales need to be clearly defined. A farm brewery license allows for the sale of wine and liquor on site. Will hemp production bring retail CBD sales and other hemp-derived products? A taproom is a fancy name for a bar that sells beer produced by the farm. Unlike wine tasting, a taproom is set up to allow patrons to sit, socialize, and drink beer. After drinking beer, the patron may purchase beer to take home, or just wait until the next day or night and come back and drink beer at the local watering hole. Is this the rural tradition and character envisioned in the town motto, right to farm law? I would refer to a letter that the attorney had sent to Jim Martin regarding the project. And she did make reference to the rural town right to farm law. It says, it is the general purpose and intent of this article to maintain and preserve the rural tradition and character of the town of Morrow. So I completely disagree that it would be in direct conflict with this law to put restrictions on this task force. I would also like to point out that in doing some research regarding this and finding some website at the market, the local government regulates through special event permits, special use permits, site plan review, which is what this is. Matters related to public health and safety that are the responsibility of this board, hours of operation, traffic, noise, number of events, number of guests, dark skies, ingress, egress, parking, sanitary facilities, permits, catering, building construction, sale of alcohol not produced on premises. I would also end by saying that the ag and marketing law has been used very often to support these projects. but it seems to be ignored when they talk about solar farms. The ag marketing law goes back to 1971, before craft breweries, before the wine bill that allowed for the spreading of these wineries. But the purpose of the ag marketing law was protecting, conserving, and encouraging agricultural lands. Thank you.
I apologize for this next one. I believe it's Bernard Stan at 243 Washington Road. I probably completely boxed that name, I'm sorry, but it's at 243 Washburn.
That's me.
Beverly, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. How do you spell your last name, Beverly?
S-T-E-V-E-N-S.
Steven.
I basically have, like, the same concerns that the rest of them have already talked about. I live on Washburn Road. It's the first place on the right going down. And right next to me, I have National Grid that has built that pad there and all that construction for the pump station. So I have that to listen to at nighttime. That's going, and the traffic in and out of there. Now you're going to have some more traffic up and down the road. But the thing of it is how long is this traffic going to go on at night? If they have any hours, 3 hours, or whatever, what you got, sure. And have all the dump trucks going up and down the road that start, like you said, 3 or 4 in the morning, the tractor and trailer start and run. And then you got the garbage trucks starting at 6 o'clock that run until 5 in the afternoon. You got the school buses. Now you're going to have some more traffic from the brewery. So what do you have for flat hours? None. Not only that, they talk about the hill. I've lived there on that road since 1940. I've seen 2 deaths on the top of that hill. The hill hasn't gotten any smaller. And the road has not gotten any wider. The driveway hasn't changed. That was my grandfather's farm. Thank you.
Thank you, Darla.
I don't mean to get loud, but you get a little bit irritated with everything that goes on around you.
Loud is good. Then we can hear you.
15 years of construction and full-time farmer. I appreciate loud. For further reference, anybody else that speaks, it's very helpful for me.
So, for further reference also, I completely apologize. Now I'm gun-shy. I think this next person is Julie at 23 Cedar Lane. Is that right?
Nope, Scott Donahue.
I'm sorry?
John Donahue, 23 Cedar Lane.
John Donahue, 23 Cedar Lane.
All right.
Thanks, John.
I am Donahue. Go
ahead.
I'm coming in further. Once again, John Donahue, 23 Cedar Lane. I've been following this project for years, and and talking to people in the community, and I think it's great that people come out, they're in front, and try to let the developers know what their feelings are on this project. Now tonight, what I've seen tonight is just from the response from the developers and the questions from the planning board, is that these people are trying to make an effort to explain step by step what this project's about. Well, I see this project as a plus in certain ways. It's going to take a property that's been neglected for a long time and improve the property. That's a positive. That's a positive thing. They're going to use agricultural land for agriculture. I think that's a positive thing. Now, as far as the tasting room and all that stuff, it seems like they've got their ducks in a row. They've got the eggs in the market. They're going to follow the laws of the New York State alcohol and so it looks like they're answering your questions. There's a lot of questions that were asked by the board, I guess, that were brought up at the last meeting. These people come in and lay their cards on the table. Now, I like the people concerned about traffic. When I look at that, I see there's 35 parking spots. You know, any business, you don't see all 35 cars going up and down the road all the time. It's going to be sporadic. And there's going to be maybe an uptick in traffic. I don't know how much, maybe there's got to be over a comprehensive traffic study done. I don't know. But when I think of 35 cars in the parking parking lot, I don't see them swinging up and down the road. I just don't see it happening in any business, you know. And as far as the dump driver, I got dump drivers going down my road. I live, you know, 5 miles from the site that you're talking about. It's going to happen. Dump drivers happen. You know, not every person who leaves their bar or leaves their cap room or leaves their tasting room, whatever you want to call it, is going to be drunk. You know, you're going to have it. That's a societal problem. It's not the problem with the developers. So those things happen. And people talk about this being in agricultural setting. I remember back in the 80s, there was a bar, it was out of road in Danford, I can't tell you the name of the road, it was out of 50. And it was on the back road, it was called Wooden Path. And that was a full-fledged bar and restaurant in an agricultural area. And to my recollection, I didn't see a lot of problems with traffic. I didn't hear about a lot of problems about drunk drivers or people at people's animals out or any of the things that were brought up since I've been gone. And you know, I believe these people want to come in, set up a business, be a good neighbor. They want us to be concerned. What I've seen here tonight is they have come back with answers for the board. And to me, they're not connected. The one thing I do have a problem with in the reflection, and real shortly by the engineer, and it was also brought up with a couple of people, is the water. You need water to grow. There's no doubt about that. And I do have concerns about the wells and how much water and how it will affect the aquifer down there, you know, and I think maybe there should be more study in that. But I think it's fantastic that people come out and let their feelings be known and let their concerns be known. And what I've seen from these people is first time I've met these five entities, first time I've heard these people try to explain their operation exactly what they want to do. It seems like they're willing to work with the community and work with people to try to make this a positive for the town. You know, we've got properties out there. Like I said, this is a distressed property. If they want to improve, they can improve the town. Maybe it's not something anybody in this room wants, but give you a chance to explain and give you a chance to try to get this thing going and to everybody's satisfaction. Not everybody's going to be happy, not going to be different. But I'd love to hear tonight, like I said, from what I've seen, you're trying to answer questions. There's a lot of tough questions, and I think everybody has the right to ask those questions. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Next, I have.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Would it be okay if I kind of jumped in ahead of line? My daughter just called. Her car won't start, and the fire will jump her car. I was one of the last ones to sign up if people don't mind.
What was your name and address?
Tom Hansen, 5 Brokers Court. Last one.
Got it.
You know, I support the idea. I spend a lot of time in the Finger Lakes, and there are a lot of, as you know, wineries, distilleries, breweries in the Finger Lakes. One of the first ones that comes to mind is in Kenya, New York. It's called Climbing Vines. It's a brewery. It's very similar to the model that they're trying to set up. You know, consider the demographics that they're trying to reach. Okay, this isn't a Sandy's that they're trying to open up. You know, Climbing Vines is very family friendly. It's dog friendly. It's you know, great access, and you know, you travel a mile down the road, and there's a place called the Spotted Duck Creamery, and it's a dairy farmer who sells ice cream, organically grown ice cream right from his farm, and he'll tell you, hey, you know, most of my business in the summer are tourists, okay? People that are going to the wineries and that are going to Climbing Vines, and they stop in and get ice cream. A mile east of Climbing Vines, there is an Amish farm, and they have a huge stand that they built to sell a lot of their baked goods and their farm produce. And again, these are all local businesses that have grown as a result. Drive through the Finger Lakes and see the development, the small business development, small rural families, farmers that are being able to sell their produce, local produce. As far as traffic goes, throughout the Finger Lakes, it's Amish country, and you have Amish carts traveling up and down the road at all hours of the day. And, I don't think you see too much on the news about DWI accidents and things like that. You can pick up the Yates County newspaper and you'll see that DWI is very low considering the number of wineries, distilleries, and breweries that are located throughout the Finger Lakes. So, I understand people's concerns, but they have a clear business model, and please understand the demographic that they're trying to reach. Okay, they're not trying to entice people to sit there all afternoon and drink beer and then drive somewhere. Okay, that's not the concept of a farm brewery that you see, again, throughout the Finger Lakes. So, just my 2 cents. I appreciate you letting me jump ahead. I'm going to go.
Thank you. Okay, back to our itinerary. We're next up to Dan Hoppler, 77 Old West Road. Did I get that right?
Yes. Very good. In light of what he said, and here's the map here in the drawing. My conclusion is all about location. Location, location, location. Which in this case, all these ladies know, in this case, danger, danger, danger. The plan, this drawing, the layout, shows a dangerous exit entrance. A dangerous spot at the top of a steep hill on a narrow road that has no shoulder. There is no consideration for entrance exit at the bottom of the hill, and with increased traffic, there will be accidents and possibly deaths, especially late at night. The snowmobiles zoom by and cross the road in the same area. Again, the danger is the increased traffic at this location. Before, the road is now used for walking, biking, horses, and walking with your children. Before this pub is open, the Old West Road, we're along them here, needs to be widened with turning lanes, a yellow light at the traffic at the top of the hill, and a reduced speed of 15 miles per hour. You may view this dangerous spot on YouTube. I didn't know how to do it, so I put in Daniel Hoppler Brewery. So you search under Daniel Hoppler, you look at brewery, and you'll see how dangerous this spot is. I trust that someone of authority will ensure that the entrance exit is redesigned from this plan to make our neighborhood safe.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate Dan's comments, and also just wanted to remind folks that might have additional comments, please try to just make sure you direct those to the board and not to the applicant. So next up, I have Carl Donaldson at 1109 Saratoga Road.
Yes, that right? Yeah. Carl Donaldson, 1109 Saratoga Road. I have a problem with small businesses because I'm kind of starting one myself. One problem is the entrance and exit. I walk down that road all the time. So it's like a walking road. Somebody's going 40, 45 miles an hour. Somebody's waiting to get in. You're smack right at it. That's my concern. Maybe some flashing lights, like you said, something along that lines, maybe redesign. And about the water issue, is it going to really take away from our wells? I mean, we got to spend out extra money because they're pumping out more water to the beer. Pretty much that's it. But my most main concern is the safety of where that entrance is. I haven't found a small business. Anybody trying to make money, you know, I promote it. But another thing about the pump station. How come we've never got anything saying that we could actually have natural gas? So we could actually save money and put money in our pockets. That'd be another big question probably bring up later on. We don't, anybody in the area never even got notified that they're in a pump station running to the city. Why can't we tap into that natural gas?
We're going to put that in the parking lot.
Yeah, but it's going to be something that we would like to hear later on. And that's all for now.
Thank you. Thanks, Carl. Next up, I have Mary Ann Thompson at 311 Old West Road.
Yes, that's me. I echo a lot of things that have been said by the previous speakers, and I think the biggest one is it does feel like the residents have been totally left out of all of this. Are we not been considered? Their safety has not been considered, and it's disturbing. And we all want to get along. That's ultimately what we wish for. In addition to what has been said, you know, our traffic is already bad. I can't walk my dogs anymore. People come out of that S turn off of 9, and they hit the gas. They're going way over the speed limit. I don't see how that's going to improve with the brewery off the road. I want to make sure, I know that the Z Farm family has every right for this business. I come from a dairy farming family right over in Gansert. I totally get it. I totally support it. But we also have rights. We also have the right to be protected, to be safe where we live. And that is ultimately, I want to know from the town, how are you going to do that? Are you going to, you know, I'm worried about my property value. I'm worried about recourse when we have frequent accidents. If that happens, we can't determine that. We don't have a crystal ball. But if that happens, if we have big events, all those kinds of things are very concerning when you live down the road, down at the bottom, across from a farm that has so much business, people coming for their horses and just all of those things. We're going to hear the music. You know, maybe I don't want to hear music 10 o'clock every Saturday night. I'm sorry, maybe I don't. And I have a right to say that, and thank you, Mr. Donahue, for supporting our right to do that. But I have definite set of safety concerns, and I want to know that our town officials are going to be there to support us. Is there going to be increased law enforcement presence? We're going to need it. We already need it, and we're not getting it. You know, we have a lot of bicyclists. I'm concerned about the kids 3 doors down from my road. We have bicyclists and runners in the summer and the spring and the fall. What's going to happen to all that? That's why we live there. That's what we're used to. Not saying I don't welcome change. I'm not saying I don't support, you know, the farming industry, but I have to be concerned about my own family and my own neighborhood. And I just want reassurance that as this moves forward, we're going to be supported and protected. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So next up is Richard McDermott, and my question is, would you like to speak now, or would you like to speak as part of your response to some of the items that have been read? It's totally up to you.
We can do it at the end, that's fine.
Pass and come back?
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Sean McDermott at 141 Rebecca. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Sean McDermott. I'm Rachel's husband. You know, I've been supporting her as she goes through this project, and I think the one concern I have is, you know, that there's this thought that there's some sort of disregard for everyone else. And I know moving up there at one point, when hopefully we get going on this, that, you know, I and my wife can be neighbors to everyone, because that's what, you know, we want to do. We want to reach out to everyone, you know, be able to be neighbors. But you know, I think there also has to be that understanding that as a family, you know, farming, this is a right farm town, and, you know, farmers need your support to be able to diversify their products. And I think this is a great opportunity for this. The Wright Farm, this is a Wright Farm on town. That's posted on all the Town of Rome signs that say, welcome to Town of Rome, Wright Farm. Even when you go on the town's website, it says, this is a Wright Farm town, and it's based on the state law. And those state laws are put in place to be able to give farmers the best chance for their farm to survive for this generation and for the next. And I think that's really the overall goal of this. And, you know, I hope as we go through this process that, you know, those with concerns can reach out to me or my wife directly, and, you know, we can become neighbors as things move forward.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. Next up is Sean Sheeran at 297 Clark Road.
Yeah, I've lived in this town pretty much my whole life. Father grew up here. Grandfather bought a house. That house is still owned by my family. So we've been here a relatively long time. I've seen the Joy Store, Toys for Joy, loved all of that. Northway comes through, right, and basically that business eventually goes away. My childhood grew up playing with those toys, right? Business tends to leave smaller towns. That's just the world of Amazon that we live in, right? Amazon brought to us the fact that you don't need brick and mortar to be a business anymore. So how do we keep business thriving in our town? How do we keep people coming through the town? You need things like this nowadays. You need something that's going to take people from Saratoga, bring them through, take people from Lake George and bring them through, right? Yeah, we'll see an uptick in traffic. I'd love to see the town actually talk about fixing that curve, but that doesn't have anything to do with their project, right? That town is that curve is pretty nasty just in general, right? I don't understand why we couldn't, you know, cut it a little bit different to actually help that. But again, not their problem. That's an us problem that we need to solve, you know, collectively, right? I've had some of this guy's beer. Some of you probably have. I just heard that, you know, the brewery that he came from, one of my favorite beers, right? The Toasted Lager from Blue Point. Amazing. We're not talking a small town, brewer coming in. This is a guy who's actually taken something and made it a brand that I personally enjoy, right? You also have to, Mr. Hansen, sorry, teacher, right? So I don't remember his first name because going through high school, we weren't allowed to call him his first name. But he brought up a good point. At the end of the day, you're not coming to a place like this and buying cheap beer. It's not going to, that's not the style of the, there's a lot of time, money, and effort that goes into making a product like this. People don't go to get wasted off $16 four packs. It just doesn't happen. People drive all the way from upstate New York over to small breweries in Massachusetts, small breweries in Vermont. Right, they do this. They drive there. They have some tasting. They pick up, a couple of cases of that very expensive beer. That there is a hidden location in EBI that you can actually find some. Walk into the cooler. But that's the style of beer that's going to be crafted here. Right, this not cheap beer. You're just not going to see some of the stuff that you're afraid of. And you know, it is a tasting room. It's not a bar at the end of the day. Right, so. I'm excited for it.
Next up, I have Cynthia Kennedy at 270 Old West Road, but I'm not sure if you wish to speak or not. Did you
say? I'll say something.
Okay.
I would like to welcome the brewery into our neighborhood, but with all the other stuff that was proposed in the beginning, I kind of wonder if that's going to come around after the brewery is going to be there, like the amphitheater and the tiny houses and the rest of it. The brewery is not really a concern if it only has 35 cars, but the rest of it is.
Thank you, Stephanie. So with that, I've exhausted the subject. I've exhausted my list of folks that signed up to be able to speak. Do we have anyone else who would like to speak? And my first hand went up here in the back.
Martha Winston, 150 Old West Road.
I'm sorry, Martha, what was the address again?
150 Old West Road.
Thank you.
I'm one of the closest neighbors. And I lived in my house. I've lived there for 50 years. I think that this is a public health and safety issue. Our road is a hilly country road that begins with a hairpin turn coming off of Route 9. My neighbor Gladys Diop was killed in a head-on collision in front of my house. Just this year, my neighbor Stephanie Oakley has had three inebriated drivers drive into her yard and have done damage to her property. This is not a road suitable for such commercialization. As far as I can tell, most people in the immediate neighborhood do not want this commercial operation to be approved. I do not think that our concerns should be steamrolled. We feel that this affects our health and safety and should not be approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. I had another one over here.
Second, Oakley, 325 of the road. I called it in and I was like, So I spoke last time about the accidents that occurred on my property. I think visual reference always works best for me, so I wanted to provide that to you as well. So I have packets of the accident reports. Packets of the accident reports that have occurred on my property. I also have photo evidence that I would like you guys to see in reference to those accidents, where you can see my children's slide is taken out. That's an area in which they play. I also have photos. They're set up. Paper. Yeah. Super organized. I also have points of reference where my son's ball stop is in reference to where another accident where a driver drove through my property. Because I think looking at the fact that my children, who are named Brayden and Savannah, live at 325 Old West Road, that's where I want them to have memories. And I want them to be safe. And that's where my point of reference here is. I talk to my kids about safety all the time. I talk with my patients about safety all the time. It is a priority. And I agree, drinking and driving isn't going to go away. But I have to do what is best for my family and my kids. And having a facility that's going to serve alcohol down the road from my home, where there have been accidents that where there hasn't been a facility serving alcohol, that jeopardizes my kids' safety. The state police, the county sheriff, they didn't clean up the glass in my yard. I did. My kids and my dog weren't able to play in the yard because it took so long to clean up the glass. On August 3rd, a man drove through my yard, crushed my child's slide, and hit a tree. He went so fast, his front windows shattered, his head went through the windshield, and I pulled out of my driveway hearing the crash, thinking it was up on the corner, which is a dark corner, only to see that he was in my yard. I called 911. Then I watched the man get out of his car, pack a bag, and flee the scene. Sweet. Guess what? No law enforcement was there yet. Only to find out that county has to respond first, even though we're minutes from the trooper barracks. When the county officer showed up, he informed us that he almost missed the call because on the backside of Moreau, they lose service. But he had heard a call coming through, so he doubled back. Otherwise, I would have waited longer. I then watched that same sheriff and a park police officer drive past my house where the accident was, because I couldn't find it. Then they had to double back. All while this man was taking off in the woods. That's a problem. And that's without a place serving alcohol down the road. I have to look at the fact that my child's bus stop is right there. That, to me, that's very concerning.
And ironically enough, with all the snow and ice that we've had, no one's ended up in my yard. Isn't that funny? So I don't think it's just a function of the road. It's a function of alcohol being served. Hours of operation for the brewery. My son's bus comes anywhere between 3:30 and 3:50. Regular time is 3:43. They give you 10 minutes on either side. So I'm literally waiting at the end of the road for him to get off the bus. The brewery's open at that time. That's a concern for me. I wanted to let you guys know that I looked at some statistics. So in 2018, there were 192 crashes in Saratoga County alone involving alcohol. 127 were crashes that caused $1,000 or more in property damage. My property being one of them, twice. In 2018, 928 drivers were ticketed for alcohol-related tickets. And I had to call 911 twice on the night of August 3rd because they hadn't come around and gotten to us fast enough. So how are we going to accommodate that with the safety of our kids? Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. I just wanted to mention again the copies of the photos that Stephanie provided, as well as the ones that Margaret provided, are in the front of the room on the table if anybody would like to take a look at them.
Can I just say something?
All right. Yes, if you tell me your
name. I think she should be able to.
I'm sorry, what was your name?
Carl Nelson.
Thank you.
I'm in charge of that. I think she should be able to have some kind of barricade or something without any problems in the near future. Do you know what I mean? Like something to stop it happening again. They wouldn't be crashing into the house. So she had to go through the whole process of the boards and have building permits. I think she should be able to have a 5-6 foot concrete wall or something to stop that from happening. She has two kids. So that needs to be taken into consideration as well. And that's all.
Thank you. Do they have additional questions or comments?
Yes, sir.
Jim Sub, 476 Brubeck Avenue. Owner with along with my brother of the Z Farm. We farmed we started leasing the farm in 1985 and we purchased it in 2016 from the previous owner. So we're very familiar with the town. We're very familiar with the road. And our goal, I mean, we're farmers, first generation. Grew our operation from basically 10 acres of corn in 1976 to 1,780 acres this year that we bought. It's very important to us to continue farming. That's our legacy. That's our life's work. And raising my daughters to love the land and the environment. So, as I get to the end of my career, which is not yet, but I can see it, I mean, we're at that point in our life cycle that we can see the end of our career, we have to start wondering, or how are we going to continue all the effort that we put in our life's work? And if you pay attention at all, which I know you do, the number of farms in this town is probably going down 75-80% significantly. And you see the farming operations that do continue, mostly over the Bacon Hill, have grown significantly. So many of them have gone from 100 cows to 1,000 cows. So I don't know what the future is. To be honest with you, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know. So we look in our operation to, I would guess, the future of this. We don't see it, particularly in 20 years, as a crop farm. You know, growing corn and soybeans for the dairy industry. I don't know if they're going to be here in 20 years. So we have to look for other types of diversification projects, which we would like to continue to be tied to farming. Now, as far as what our actual desire is for the property, if you know anything about our property, 2 years ago, we put in 115,000 feet of tile drainage to improve the soil. We would have continued that project, except National Grid came in and basically said, you're going to lease us this land over here for this gas injection site, because our plans were the next year to retile that, because that was already tiled and we wanted to redo it because the tiles were failing. It had been installed 50 years ago and it reached the end of their life cycle. So basically, Grid came in and said, you're going to play or we're going to take it. So, we were faced with the decision to obviously take some land out of agricultural production. And if you ask my brother and my daughter, it was just like cutting your right hand off, because that was not our intention. But so we're handing basically our business off to the next generation, and this is the track that she thinks is best, at least in that particular parcel, to move forward. And so we're supportive of that. We think we've seen other businesses that have done it and have been successful at it. And so that's why we went down this path. Now, I will say a couple of things, because noise has been brought up many, many times. Do you recall the motocross track that was there for 25 years? Does anybody recall the motocross track? Did you hear the motocross track? Did you hear it?
No.
Did you ever
bother? Mr. Zub, to the board.
Okay. So, see what I'm saying? So, we had a motocross track. They shot skeet. They did target shooting there. And, I don't know if anybody was ever bothered by it. I don't know. And then obviously also in the community we have, some rodeos. I don't know if they're sanctioned or what they are, but, they're always down the street. The horse operation is always, always traffic. So I feel a little targeted, and I think there's just, I don't think that we're going to have the impact that everybody feels that we're going to have. And so, thanks for listening. Like I said, it's basically a way we feel that we can continue running our farming operation to the future. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes. My name is Robert Oakley. I'm Stephanie's dad. I don't live here, but I was hoping to be able to talk to you. Sure. Okay.
Are you Robert Oakley from 2 Moreland Avenue?
Yes, 2 Moreland Avenue, away from New York. Thank you very much for letting me speak, okay? My daughter does have 2 grandchildren. They're ours, okay? Love them dearly. They mean everything to us, okay? With these 2 accidents, I know she spoke of it when it happened, okay, on her properties, all right? We have a lot of functions at Stephanie's house. We're out there exactly where these cars came across the road. Sometimes they're from 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night in the summertime, okay? So with the hours of the establishment, it's trying to get in there. You can have people at the bar from 2, 3 o'clock probably. I understand just from what's been said here, there's no food being served there. Is that correct?
They will not be preparing any food as part of their operation. At times, they could offer food via a food truck, or they could have cheese, crackers.
Okay.
The Ag and Markets law requires that they also be prepared to provide food of those kind of small quantities that they wouldn't use a kitchen to prepare. They could have a food truck also.
Okay. All right.
Liquor license requirement.
Liquor, okay. So, and the gentleman, young gentleman, spoke before about the beer that this gentleman produces, okay? Those are IPAs. A regular beer, you're looking at like 3-3.5% alcohol. IPAs, 6-10. That's 2-3 times what a normal beer is. So if somebody's sitting there and having 2 or 3 beers, now you're talking about 6 or 9. So I think you have to look at that also. And the only other thing was the porch. So they applied for 700 square feet for the tap room, right? But you add 750 more feet to it, now you double it. And you can put a sign up that says you can't take your beer outside. But if they have little tables and chairs out there, people are going to take it out. So I just think you really have to look at that too. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Now we're coming back to the. Oh, sorry.
Yep.
You'd like to speak?
Yes, sir. Christian Ryan, 36 Rip Van Lane.
What's your last name, Christian?
Ryan, R-Y-A-N.
Okay. What was the address? I'm sorry.
36 Rip Van Lane.
Thanks.
All right, so just sort of a general overview of, real quickly, what brewing means to New York. New York used to be the epicenter of brewing in this country. All the beer, all the barley, all the hops were grown here. So what we're doing, in a way, is a return to tradition. I teach brewing at the community college down in Schenectady, training that next generation. And amongst my students, we've had 4 other individuals open up their own breweries down in Malta, down in Fort Edward. And they're doing pretty well because of what these small breweries actually represent. We are part of the community. That is what we strive to be, to give the community a place to gather, a place of learning. So I take in students from colleges, engineering, biology, chemistry. We give them a place for real-world application. So this isn't just, you know, as the gentleman mentioned, it's not a booze fest. You're not coming here to pound beers. To comment on the IPA, and specifically, the original IPA is only 3-4%. That's a standard IPA. Now, what we brew, I don't know. You know, Bud Light is 5.5, just to put it into perspective. Now, to address a couple of the technical points that have come up, propylene glycol is a food-grade additive. If you flip over most of the prepackaged foods you've eaten, you'll find it on the ingredient label. The reason it is a food-grade additive that we use, because that glycol chiller comes in direct contact with the beer, so if there's a leak, it's not going to hurt anybody. That is FDA-regulated, so there is a safety guarantee there. Glycol chillers also only run as needed. So at a large operation, it's running maybe 25% of the time because it cools down a large reservoir and then it just shuts off, kind of like the air conditioning at home. For the traffic, a lot of the breweries we did for our study, we did go beyond the Capital District. We did a statewide survey. A lot of these facilities are based in rural areas by residences on small roads away from commercial centers. So when we took our numbers, that is where they came from, and all those breweries were identified that we did receive responses from. And I can't speak to the operating standards of other establishments, but we will be supporting the TIP certification, if no one has heard of that. Basically, it's a nationwide training service for servers and bartenders to specifically prevent guest intoxication. So that teaches people how to identify the signs of somebody who's getting close to the limit of having too much, and your responsibility is to shut them off. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. We'll go ahead and pass it back to the applicant for responses to the items that were brought up so far. Rachel, would you like to speak?
Sure. So I don't have a lot prepared for tonight. I'm going to try and address some of the concerns that people had today, and thank everyone for coming out here. It's a long meeting, and it's a Monday night. So, first and foremost, I'm going to start off and say that I resent the fact that we're being referred as non-residents. My dad and my uncle have tirelessly maintained the fields on Old West and Washburn Road since before I was born. So my dad talks about succession planning and sending this farm on to the next generation. It means a lot, and not just to us, but to the community. And that's very much overlooked in this crowd. You know, yes, we bought the farm in 2016, but it was offered to us because we had been great stewards, or considered to be great stewards of the land. So that really, hope it resonates here. You know, as far as water evaluation and some of the studies, I think that our team, myself, we have gone above and beyond what I think is typically required at this level, providing survey data from other farm breweries. We have paid for water studies. We have answered as many questions as tedious as they may be to the planning board and to the residents. And we think we've done a pretty good job at it. I also have reached out. Obviously, the petition that was signed by the 38 residents or 38 people from Morrell and surrounding areas that opposed the project. Anybody with a contact number or an email, I personally reached out to on my own time and offered a meet and greet, a chance to answer questions, and it does feel a little targeted that we're being accused of not considering the community when I think I've spent 100 hours of my lifetime literally just trying to reach out to the community. And I think we are community members. When Martha Winston was in trouble with DEC for trespassing on our property and approaching hunters, I wrote a letter to the court saying that she should not have been arrested for that because that's ridiculous. And she's a neighbor. We are neighbors. You know, as far as the drunk drivers on Miss Oakley's property, that's horrible. My husband and I are expecting. I can't imagine what she must feel like. But I have practical questions, too. Did they come from Route 9? Did they come from Old West Road? And this isn't going to make her feel any better, but like my husband said, as being neighbors, like, we'd probably be the first people there to help her sweep up whatever debris or damage there is on her yard. That's not going to make her concerns about drunk driving go away. I think that a number of people have spoken to the culture of what we're trying to do and what it means to our community. It's a place for gathering. It's a place for learning. And, you know, as it relates to people concerned about contaminating our soil is our life. This is how we make a living. This is how we make products. This is how we pay for our tractors and our land and our mortgage and our taxes, right? There's literally zero incentive to do anything but take care of that farm. So some of these fears I can't put to rest with any scientific data. They just seem like logical to me. I don't know what else to say about that. But I do want to just reiterate some of the things that I said at the last meeting, which is that we are in New York State in agricultural crises. And again, I'll repeat these figures for you. Over the 10 years between 2007 and 2017, New York State lost close to 2,100 farms and 320,000 acres of farmland. That is from the New York Farm Bureau website. The average farm income in 2017 was $24,850. I feel like that's a crime. What we're doing here, like my dad said, and like I will reiterate, is taking a raw product that we grow and turning it into a change in physical state, turning it into something that has more value. Does it bring more income? That is our hope. Nobody's going to go into business to lose money. I have spent a lot of time researching what we need to do to make this a profitable business, why it's located, where it's located, to bring in the right partners to make sure that it is a successful and diligently run operation. And all I can really add to that is that we have the right team in place.
You know, we've done our due diligence to this point. We continue to cooperate with the request of the town that either come from the planning board members or come from the people who are commenting in the public. Just like Teresa said today, right before I came here, I'm walking around the farm with flashlights, the Department of Health representatives. It's not, it takes time away from what I'm currently doing in preparation for this. So while that isn't necessarily the process, we're willing to go the extra mile to see that your questions are answered. So with that, I'm happy to answer a couple more questions. The last thing I'll say is, you know, what we're doing here, creating beer from ingredients from on-site, from water we used on-site, you know, this is a practice that is protected under New York State Ag and Markets. It is defined as a farm product. It is no different process than a dairy farm taking their milk and turning it into cheese or butter or ice cream and selling it at the farm. Now, it is a different product, and that's what seems to be the concern of the public. From a process standpoint, from a farmland protection standpoint, from a business planning standpoint, it is really the same process here. So we maintain that we believe that Moreau is the right place to have this business because of its right to farm law, because of its location, and because we've made the investment in this farmland to keep it for my generation at least. You know, my uncle and my dad wouldn't be here tonight. They wouldn't be supporting me and my husband and our partner along in this process if they didn't believe it was going to work too. So that's what happened.
Thank you. Teresa or Dominic, do you have anything you'd like to add or respond to any of the items that were raised so far?
No, I don't.
Dominic, you're good? Board, any follow-up questions or additional information?
I have a technical one. While we've been sitting here listening to comments and all, I was looking at the map. And this is just an oversight. It might change your number of spaces, but your parking spaces are undersized. 9x18 doesn't meet code. You have to have 200 square feet.
That's
okay. So that'll have to be reflected on the mylars.
Okay. There's stone in the stone area anyway, so possibly it's just 200 square feet.
About 200 square feet for each of your time.
All right.
We'll be happy.
Yeah, as you drive over the truck, I appreciate the 10 feet wide. I know up in Queensbury, in a place that they allow 9 foot wide parking spaces, but I choose not to go there because I can't park in open doors. The other question I have, and this has come up a couple of times, and I guess once again, I try to understand this stuff as best I can. We keep mentioning food trucks on site. And there's nothing really on the site plan of where that might be located. And then somebody said, well, they're not actually going to create food on site or whatever. But I would think a food truck does. We're not talking about a caterer, right, or a Grubhub bringing the food in or a pizza delivery. We're talking about a vehicle that's going to be on the premises producing food or meals to be served. And I guess I, as a board member, don't know how that fits. To me, that's a restaurant, even if it's on wheels.
We did reach out to the Department of Health on it, actually.
I'm sorry?
We reached out to the Department of Health on the issue, so you would have some clarity if the question came up.
Okay.
They have their own Department of Health certificates, and they are not looked at as our business. They're looked at as their own vendor.
But this is your site.
Correct. But they don't, because they're not using our water, because they're not using our kitchen, they have their own certificate. They have to have one county by county. And then we're leaving it.
Sorry. So if for some reason you did have a food truck on the site, where would it be?
It would be in the parking site. Yeah.
In the parking lot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess what John's trying to is, can you tell us kind of where you would put it?
And where
you
kind of probably the parking spot closest to the brewery.
Those are handicapped. And then there's one, okay.
Well,
so
the non-handicapped space.
So you'd be taking up a couple of spaces.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to access the vehicle and
Yep.
And you want them closer to, you know. The only thing that I'm concerned is, I just, my only skeptic is, I doubt you're only going to make beer once a week. I know what you've said, Rachel. I've seen other breweries say the same thing, and they end up brewing more. You have three, four fermenters, six bright tanks, if I read it right. You're going to want to have the beer in there, and that's going to dictate if you're going to make, and if you're going to be successful, which is what you're trying to do, you're going to be brewing more than once a week.
Well, Reed, I can't speak to the moon. The frequency of brewing, right? So if I've got, I know, and she's deferring this over to me, who will be running those operations,
sure.
Right? So if I've got a 10 barrel, I don't know. It depends on how it's selling. Maybe I'm brewing lagers, right? That takes 21 days to turn a tank, correct? So if I'm brewing an ale, it takes 14 days.
I doubt you'd be wanting to brew lagers when.
Ooh, that's where the market's going. So I mean, but that's a business decision. But that's a business decision. So a lager takes 21 days as opposed to an ale, which takes 14 days to turn. Now, I can't determine my product mix, and nobody can. You brew based on what sells, correct? So if I've got a 10-barrel system and I brew once a week, that's 20 half-barrels, which is a pretty significant output, right? So
no,
each one of those tanks... What's that?
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
No, it's not.
Based on what, Reed? I mean, I would love to be able to sell more.
But she's going to need money. That's not enough.
Well, Reed, now... Okay. Hold on. Let me rephrase this. Allow me to rephrase. So, hold on, guys. Please.
Hang on. With all due respect, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help my fellow planning board member, Reed. I don't know that that's the purview of this board. So, I appreciate you doing your best to try to help us understand what you think the brewing operation would want to look like, and I think that you've taken it about as far as you can at this point.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah. Ron, I have a couple of questions.
Yes, Michael.
They talked about putting a light on out on Route 9. Carla, isn't that a DOT thing? They'll do a traffic study before a light will go off?
Yeah, I wanted to actually, there was a lot of comments about changing the road and the safety of the road, and that's not under the purview of this board. That if there's a concern about the safety of the road, that's something that should come to the town board.
Right.
If there's something about a concern about a safety regarding a school bus stop, that should go to the school district.
Right.
So that's not, I mean, they're relevant safety concerns, but they're not for your board.
Thank you. I wanted to clear that up, too. And the lady that, you know, he spoke about putting a cement burn up or something, if he went to our highway department or our town board, they could probably do a guardrail. They would look at that, right? Correct?
Yes, but that's not anything you folks
could
do.
Nothing to do with us.
Right.
Now, the other thing is the entrance ways, the in and out going out there, doesn't that also have to be approved by our highway department?
Yes, there has to be curb cuts and, yep.
So those questions are some quick answers. And then this young lady here spoke that she has trucks going up and down the road early in the morning. We have a noise ordinance in our town, and you can call our code enforcement.
Okay.
And if they don't enforce it, then call our supervisor. Okay?
Yeah. I think I'll reiterate that. I mentioned at the last meeting, if I remember correctly, when Hiram Holler went in, it was made very clear that the garbage trucks are not supposed to be coming over Wash Firm Road and then Old West Road. They're supposed to go to the shortest distance to a county or state highway, which is the other direction. I'm not saying they're not doing that, and that doesn't fall on this applicant. It doesn't fall on us.
Right.
You need to call the town supervisor, all right, and make sure that that was clear, and it may have to be the town of Wilton because that's where Hiram Hollow is. All right, and then you have to call the sheriffs and report. But I know that when they first started hauling, there were people in the neighborhood that called the sheriffs, and those trucks started going the other way. Right. We've done it on our road, and there's a problem. All of a sudden, they'll start coming down Palmer Road. And when you see about 12 of them in a day, you make a call, and it stops happening. Right. They're not supposed to be going on that 90-degree turn on the Route 9. If they're doing it, they're taking a shortcut allowed by the law. So that one, definitely, I would suggest you call all of you if it bothers you. The more calls they get, the more likely they'll do it. Show up at a town board meeting and mention it. Alright, they are not supposed to be going down those roads. They're supposed to get off of the rural roads as quickly as possible, which is the opposite direction. So I guess then to the parking thing, to my concern, if you get 35 cars there and then all of a sudden there's no room to park,
mm-hmm.
Alright, what is the recourse for that then? If they can't put signs up to say no parking, the town probably won't do it. If the residents see a bunch of cars parked up that hill,
they call the town.
They call the town, or they call the sheriff.
They call the sheriff.
Because there's no parking on a rural road anyway.
Right. That's not you folks. That would be the. That's an enforcement action for the sheriff. Yeah.
How that's managed.
That would be that's an enforcement action under the sheriff. They can call the town supervisor. They can call the highway department. But really, it's the sheriff's department that would come and ticket it. Just as if you and I parked there, we would ticket it.
Okay. All right. I mean, that goes also to my concern. I think you're going to get if you follow through with this and you get this up and running, it's not out of the realm to believe that you're going to end up with 40 snowmobiles in your field right below this facility.
Will not be in my field.
And I'm not saying that's your fault. I'm just saying that you maybe need to at least think, geez, what am I going to do if that happens? Because that would be a bad thing to have them crossing that road on the top of the hill there with sleds. You know? I don't even know how you stop that. We tried for years to try and keep snowmobiles on the trail and where they belong.
Well, the snowmobile
closet. If I tell them not to be there, they won't be there. Simple as that.
Well, I know that. And it was mentioned at the last one that they're riding the gas line and they have permission for that and you can't stop them. Honestly, I don't think they have permission.
That's not true. If you're on the gas line, they can't be on the gas line.
Yeah, I don't think that they have the right to cross your property. But that's a different thing. I'm just saying that if it does, it's just something I wanted to let you know last month and remind you this month that you may all of a sudden see that happen and you need to be prepared for how you're going to handle that. Because that would be, you're considered by LIDA laws as an attractive nuisance. You'd be drawing them in, so you'd have to at least find some way to manage it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the neighbors are part of that snowmobile club.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they went, up and pulled into your parking lot.
So, Board, at this point, do you feel like you need to continue the public hearing? Do you have any follow-up questions? Do you wish to close the public hearing? What would be your...
I think we've exhausted the input at this point. We have a full plan in front of us. I can't see anything other than minor changes like the parking lot, the lot metanol. I would make a motion to close the public hearing.
I have a motion to close the public hearing by John. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion by John and a second by Peter. Any further discussion?
So if I close the public hearing, so now we're at the point is basically, are we happy with the site plan, or are we looking for some further tweaks to the site plan before we vote on the plan?
That's correct. I mean, that would be our next course of business. We'd go through the items that we've talked about so far tonight that you feel like either you need to have additional information on, or you need to see edits made in the final set of drawings, which we've talked about a few of those. We would try to create an inventory of what we listed out and then talk about what we might want to do from there. Any further discussion?
No.
And they rebuttal. They didn't say anything about the exit and the end.
There's a motion.
There's a motion by the planning board. Thank you. Public hearing. Do you have any further discussion from the board? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Abstentions? I shall concur. Now, to your point, sir, we had a number of items that we had identified throughout the course of the public hearing, and I want to thank everybody as well for helping us to make that as efficient as possible. There was a lot of folks in the room, and you did a really good job at being efficient with your comments and as well as your responses, so I want to say thanks for that. So, board members, we had a number of items as well that we might want to consider as next steps, and I know that Jerry has been scribbling feverish down there. Jen, did you have a shot at a number of items that you thought needed to be addressed?
From my standpoint, from what I've heard of the exchange, there's been continued reference to water use and water study, but the last meeting, I thought you had come to the conclusion that you were solid on the water use issue and the availability.
At the last meeting, the board took a vote as to whether we felt that we needed additional research around the water information that had been provided so far, and the board voted not to do that.
Correct. All right. I just want to make sure because we. Because to me, what I mean, I took a lot of notes out of the. Let me see, by my count, we had 19 speakers, including the applicant's response. And it to me, I'm not trying to minimize or certainly diminish any of the comments we heard, but it seemed to center around water and traffic, is what I've heard. We've had a traffic study has been done. I don't want people to think there hasn't been. There has been an analysis prepared. CT Mail prepared it, and that's where we came up with the trip generations numbers and that. I don't see, from my experience, looking at the usual things of traffic operations, intersection operational levels, that kind of thing, we're not seeing those kind of degradations of service. I just don't see any compelling safety data that's been presented. I to see concerns over data or safety. I just don't see it. I just being honest on that. So those are the two primary issues have been the water and the traffic. Now there are other things. In my way of thinking, I think on this food truck issue, we should have a food truck parking area shown, separate and apart from the patron parking. They got plenty of space to do it. And I think if snowmobiles are a concern, then there should be a snowmobile parking area. Maybe that can be the same as the food truck parking area. I don't know. But if that's a concern, just show it. It's not hard. Let's see. The sprinklers were addressed. I think the events, I think you're comfortable with that in terms of the level of events we're going to see.
What the total tenants.
Yeah, I did hear some discussion about, I have some notes here about you're going to a maximum capacity ? I think that's something that you should come to a conclusion on. And other than that, on the other related items about the safety on the road and things like that, I don't think it's unreasonable to put in the minutes to a recommendation with the town board to take up that curve. Whether it's be a guardrail or maybe just a safety investigation of the speeds on that road.
Are you talking about the end of Old?
Yes.
Just a little background on that. The pictures were really good at showing where the car went.
Right.
The car went where the road went. The road used to go where you have a driveway. That was the road. And it used to go right up to Route 9. And then at a certain point, the state decided that all ingress, egress onto their state roads should be made opposite each other if they can.
Perpendicular.
And they put that 90-degree bend on so that road would line up with South Road. Okay. It used to come on the other side of your house, right next to your house. Okay. So, and unfortunately, your driveway is right straight line with the road because that's where the road used to go. So, and that's always been a problem. It doesn't take drunk drivers.
Like, if it's always been a problem, then what's being done about it?
Then that's something you should really go to the town board about that and see if the highway department could come up with something to help you with that situation.
The other party that should be involved is every school district's got a transportation director. Mm-hmm. If you've got a concern over a school bus stop there, and I think you do, a very profound one,
yes.
Rightly so, it's not unreasonable to go to the school board and the transportation director and ask them to also get involved, and there can be a joint investigation done of that curve. So that's my summation, of what I heard this evening, and the correspondence we've gotten has been consistent with that too. The written correspondence, both emails and letters, have come in even since the last meeting. And just to let the public know, they have been distributed to all the board members as soon as they've come in. They've gone right back out. They've been given written copies, and they've also been provided to the applicant.
Rachel, just to make a suggestion, maybe during the school season, maybe during weekdays, maybe not opening at noon, but maybe at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I don't think we ever have an noon.
No, maybe not have any business when school's in session, and that, you know, so that by 4, you know, first 4 o'clock would be your opening time, so pretty much the school bus would be coming through there roughly at that time and wouldn't interfere. Just an idea, a thought to be, you know, a good neighbor with the public there. Maybe that might help smooth things over.
The other thing I would say, you know, in future operations, it appears to me in reading the correspondence from the Department of Ag and Markets, there is an enforcement arm to that agency. And if there are concerns ever in the operations of this going forward, you know, I would encourage the residents to, you know, inquire with that enforcement arm. Because
with Ag and Markets?
Yeah. These things are going to happen, you know, a lot of these things are going to happen on weekends, and, you know, town enforcement staff is not there. So,
Kim has four agencies that look at what we do.
It's going to be highly regulated.
There's SLATCB. There's not a lot we can do, like, behind the scenes. You know, there's a lot of regulatory framework put in place to protect people.
What you're trying to, and being the neighbor, I think, is trying to let the neighbors know what to expect is really what they're looking for.
Right.
There's a lot of them, they're afraid of the unknown.
I agree. Neighborly relations work both ways, though.
Sure.
So we'll make the first attempt.
Yeah.
So what's up?
So the few items that I had in terms of, you know, key elements that we need to see be made is either notes in the final set of drawings or annotated in the map set, as we like to sometimes refer to it. One was the safety seal that you referenced that the Department of Health wanted to see added to the existing well.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
The other was that there not be any livestock within 50 feet of the well. We wanted to see on the final drawing that there be a buffer that was shown to that effect. I made a note, and I guess I'm just asking for your for clarity of your understanding that the applicant was going to speak to Ag and Markets about what a maximum capacity might be that they would prescribe for this application. Do I have that right? We've talked about it, the community talked about it, and I don't know that I know where we left off of that.
Okay, so the building code puts forth the maximum capacity for the building. So we'll identify whatever that is.
Yep.
And then we will attempt to identify for you a maximum capacity during operations otherwise, because I think that's what your
question was. Question about events, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
rather
than
events. Yeah.
Yep.
We will come back on that.
So it's, you're going to identify max capacity of building and events?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Does that work for you, Jim?
Yep.
The next one that I had was regarding truck access that we wanted to, on the final drawing, you know, identify the location where the truck would be parked during transfer, any secondary containment that we might provide for connections to make sure that, you know, any spillage or leakage was captured. Then that the tractor trailer would be one-way traffic, one way in, one way out. I think, did I get all of that?
I think they were going to back it in at that.
No, we're not backing out there.
I mean, backing into the spot to unload the, or pick
up
the...
Well, I think there was some confusion, because when I asked Rachel about it, are you going to come in and then drive back out, it was kind of a yes, and then come in and turn around in the parking lot. So I guess, because I was asking if you, at that point, that's why I asked if you
could radio. Let us just answer that. We'll show it.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you could show
and
that.
And that's mainly just so we know that there's turning radiuses. In
gotcha. No problem.
Sorry. Yeah, the backing in off Old West Road is not an option.
No.
I don't think you were going to do that, but I think
I understand that Rachel and other Virginia people, when they sell this beautiful product to someone else, that is an option.
We will put the truck in and out. Show where it's
going to
be parked.
That's
no problem.
The next one I had.
We wanted parking to show parking where we would park a food truck if we.
I'll come to that one too.
Okay.
No, go ahead. You can be the witness.
John pointed out, I added as one comment that each parking space needed to be a minimum 200 square feet. You were going to make that change, and you're also going to show, I think it's two extra spots that the food truck would occupy when it parks, right, so that it has its own kind of separate designated spot.
No problem.
The one I had also before that was that this came from the discussion with Peter. Toilets and hand sinks needed to be of sufficient quantity, so we needed to answer the question around occupancy first to then make sure that we had the right number of lavatories to accommodate the occupants.
Yeah, right. We're confident that's also regulated by building code, so we will get you that information.
No problem.
I need the number of facilities in case on square footage.
Right, we just need to do to clarify that. Right? The only other one I had, which was just my, more of a note, I guess a question, is that if we go down this path, and for whatever reason, you don't get the license that you seek from the state liquor authority, does this project stop? I guess the question is, would it need to come back and be resubmitted as something else if you got to that point?
That we've applied for a farm brewery. If we don't get the farm brewery license, then we don't move forward.
All right. That was just my question. Jerry, did you have any answer?
Me?
Yeah.
He's busy writing there.
You're usually my list maker.
You picked a bad night to fill in.
I got five things based on your accounting there.
I have nothing additional, so I'll close that question.
I had five things based on your accounting.
Okay.
There was one more. This was way back, hours ago. Okay. There was a mention of maybe on the plans having it listed that there was a limit of the music to just the building or the deck, or excuse me, the porch. Is that something that we wanted to discuss further?
Or is ag market control that?
I thought
that was it was non-amplified music only.
It is acoustical.
Well,
that's what they're.
Yeah, I don't understand where the non-amplified
Non-amplified music came from a month ago at the meeting where it said it would only be non-amplified music, it would be acoustic music.
That was not something we ever thought.
I thought that came from you guys. I recall that.
I thought it came from Ag and Markets.
No, I think it came from Jim's comment.
But that was as a result of the discussion we had with Ag and Markets. That's where I got that.
There's nothing
in the Ag and Markets law that says that it can't be amplified.
I think you're going to be finding that as part of your permit. I'll be surprised if it's not.
It came from somewhere. I'm not making that
up. I didn't make that up. I never heard of the term acoustical music until that.
Well, we can
have a heavy metal
guy.
But just so you know, that's not related to the point that I was bringing up, which is locating the music either in the porch or the tap room. Is that something that we as a board would like to suggest, or the applicant would be acceptable with, or
no? The record would say.
We would like some flexibility. I mean, there may be some kind of music that makes sense to be out on the lawn, you know, directed back towards the patrons on the porch and inside with the doors open. You're asking us to kind of spitball something in the future. That's why I said, do you want us to put a square on the grass? I mean, not.
No,
like
that's what,
on
I'm
the
trying to, what I'm trying to do is get him. All right, so I live across from North Platte, okay? Up the road from us, there's a campground. And about 12, 15 years ago, there was a change of ownership, and all of a sudden, there's amplified music going until 10:30, 11 o'clock at night up at the campground every weekend.
Right.
Okay. Sound travels really well out in the country. One of the great things about the country, it's nice and quiet until it's not, and sound does travel. So all I'm trying to do is get a feel for, as much as the town and road does not have a nuisance noise ordinance,
but you
right,
do
I can't stop my neighbor.
You do. You have a noise ordinance.
Yeah, we do.
It's a 11 to 7 kind of thing. It's not.
Right. But there is case law that says that your type of noise ordinance is the type of noise ordinance you're supposed to have. The one you refer to as a nuisance type noise ordinance those get overturned in the courts all the time. So your town is doing it absolutely right.
Well, this is why I'm asking these questions, because okay. I know, like, with lighting now, we're always asking the applicants to make sure there's no light shed onto the neighbor's property.
Right. Night sky, okay. Night dark sky.
Well, I mean, I'm not looking for it to be, you know, Montana, but you know, we try to contain that off-glow off-site, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And certain farming makes noise. Right, my tractors aren't silenced, okay? So my neighbors have to accept the fact that my tractors make noise, okay? My milk pump used to fire up at 5 o'clock in the morning. That makes noise, all right? But I don't think my neighbors, when they moved into the neighborhood, ever expected me to be running music, all right, loud enough for them to hear on a regular basis for my patrons. So that's why, and I'm not saying the ag market doesn't allow this. We're just trying to find a way to try and contain whatever concerns there might be.
Well, let us come back to you with another proposal to try to address your concern. I mean, I have a farm immediately adjacent to my backyard, and the farmer has a day job, like most farmers do now, because otherwise you don't have health care. So at night, he plows, he hays, he bales between the hours of 10 and, as far as I can tell, 3 in the morning. So remember, we do have hours of operation here. Those hours of operation are all listed out there. But let us look at the issue and get back to you.
Okay. And I would say there's other operations on the road that run late into the night for special events like the rodeo. So this is not just us having people around doing, and I'm not, again, not sure what permits are in place for those, so.
When I sit up here, I always try. You always have like a push and shove. You have the applicant and you have the opposition, and there tends to be this. Everybody seems to think it's better or worse than it's going to be, and in the end, it all seems to work out. I always try to be somebody that tries to find a middle ground, so that like everybody can come away and feel like, you know, they got something out of it.
I think by trying to find a maximum occupancy for special events and getting to the answer on Amplified, we're going to do a pretty good job of answering your question. You know, like I said, we will cooperate with what we can get answers to and provide all that back to you. You know, because there's definitely framework that exists. There's other farms that are already doing what we do. So. And our operating hours aren't that late. If you really think about it, 10 o'clock last night.
And
so
Danielle, she said, acoustic, same at 9
o'clock. Very late.
I didn't say your hours were late. You're not going until 2 in the morning.
Right.
No. Okay. But I'm just saying that the campground wasn't running the music at 11 o'clock at night. My kids go to bed at 7.
Right.
All right. At 9 o'clock, we could still hear music up there.
Yeah.
And we deal with it. You always deal with it, especially living in a tourist area. We had to call up West Mountain and say, hey, those boomers you're setting up on your Fire on the Mountain thing, freaks the crap out of the heifers.
Yeah.
It's shaking down the whole valley, okay? And the next year, they weren't as loud. They said, okay, that isn't working.
Right.
Okay. So I'm trying to kind of head this off and see if obviously, if it's contained to the porch and it's amplified, you're still going to hear it outside the porch. You're lucky. You don't have neighbors. You're citing this in the middle of your property.
Right.
You don't have neighbors right next to it. Okay. But the point I was trying to get to is maybe there's some way we can contain it to make sure it's not a problem. Okay.
Well, but yeah, shows that we're bringing a sound like this isn't like. Like, when we say live music, like, I feel like you might be envisioning, like, where some, like, sound guy has to come in and manage it. Like, it's not
no.
like that.
No, I'm pretty sure the campground didn't have that. It was just a local rock band, and they were good.
Yeah.
Until 10 o'clock.
But we'll definitely come back to you. I mean, if Ag and Market says it's acoustic and that's what's considered a farm use under the Farm Bureau law, then that's what it is. If,
right.
if they come back and say it's amplified, then
okay.
we will seek to do that.
Okay.
For
any further?
One item.
Yes, sir.
I think we have kind of like open-ended and noise and lights, but we need to consider events because right now, the way it's set, it's any number for any duration. Do we want to put any? We need to put any details on that.
Yeah.
I'm sure the applicant does not, but we should consider what we're going to do.
Could
said, we've not discussed, we've not determined the number of events, the duration of each one. And we said we don't want another certain hour. Do we, no. Code cannot be enforced if it's not part of our approval. We need to figure out what we're going to do and get a resolution so that we don't have 40 people against what this is going on.
Well, we should start then by defining what we mean by event, right?
That's correct.
Because normal business, as we each of us think of it, may be different.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm trying to go back and
forth. I mean, what you asked us to do is give you a list of similar events. Similar to other places that we would propose having at this facility. We're not proposing having any events outside the hours of operations that we... Those are the limits of the hours of operation. So, and obviously, events in the winter are problematic at best. It would be nice if we were somewhere else, but we're here. So we cannot tell you at this point which of the events we will have, and they will no doubt change over the years. So we would just request that it not be prescriptive.
If you're going to limit events to your hours of operation,
yes,
then that needs to be annotated on the approval.
Okay.
And then we can go from there.
All right.
I added that as one more condition for us.
Okay.
We would have that as part of our...
So fireworks, you know, if they get the proper permission, they can have fireworks in there if they so decide as a part of their event. Not that I'm against it.
That wasn't on our list.
Was
it?
But
it is an idea.
It's not on the list, and it's not on the site. If you so choose 2 years from now, gee, it sounds like a good idea. There's no way of... So this is the stuff that needs... This is why the site plan is so important, so that we all have a good understanding of what's going to happen.
But we can't possibly forecast, you know, 2 years in the future what exists, let alone...
What happens is... So I understand that. I agree with you on that. But this is why things that we get on the site plan and get it finalized really sets the tone for the future.
It's important to note that the definition, this is why I said it's important we define what an event is. Right? I don't know that in my mind I'm thinking you have to tell us what the event will be. To me, it's more of what will constitute that this is no longer normal business operations, this is an event.
I think the type of business that we're running relies kind of heavily on attracting people to the farm.
Exactly.
Okay, so, I guess the question is, what would you all define as an event? And we can tell you if we feel the same way, I guess.
See,
you're asking us to make a definition of something.
You know, along Peter's line, and to make this enforceable but not onerous, to me, an event is anything that's going to take up space outside of the deck and the indoor tasting room. If you have an event inside your tasting room, I really don't care.
Or the porch.
But I am more concerned about public health and safety if we have 150 people showing up, you know, where are they going to park,
hang on.
On the grass areas and all that.
We've said a couple of times we have parking spaces for a certain number of people, and we're going to set forth the maximum capacity. Now, to say that they can't have people outside carving pumpkins because that's an event.
I'm not saying you can't have it. I just want to have the expectation there that yes, this is what is going. Something like that is going to happen.
Well,
I'm not saying you can't have it.
Make sure that the scope doesn't get too big.
I've got it, but the scope can't get very big because we have a maximum capacity.
Well, may I ask this, Carl? Just a quick question. We have the site plan in front of us. We have a large parcel.
Mm-hmm.
This is a portion of it. It's not segmented. It's not separated. All right. So we've got a dotted line here that says this is the part we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that goes forward from here on this site plan, any activity that goes on, must be maintained within that dotted line area, right?
When you say any activity, anything related solely to the brewery?
related to the activities going on the site plan.
Related to the brewery.
Yes, yes.
And the reason I bring that up is because they're going to be bound by Ag and Markets and by the AB, the Alcohol Beverage Control Law,
right,
that any incidental event, wedding receptions, things like that, that's what Ag and Markets defines events as, anything like that, they have to meet a certain, it has to be incidental, and there's a numeric formula to make that incidental.
Right. Right.
So I just want to let you all know that they're bound by those regulations as well.
So I'm going to...
This is why I was asking.
Yep. That's why I'm here.
Let's see if I can bring us together. What I'm going to ask of Carla is that between now and the next board meeting, thank you for taking notes, Jerry. You're doing a really good job.
I notice he starts taking notes when he says, Carla's going to do.
I haven't asked you to do anything. So I was going to ask if you could draft a resolution for us for the next board meeting that we could consider, that we could review with the applicant, for a number of the items that we have talked about so far, as well as this notion of what's an event, right? Like, try to give it some boundaries, so to speak, so that we have something that we can reference as a board when we go to take.
What I can do, Mr. Chairman, is if it sounds to me like the board is not going to render a determination tonight, and what I would do so that there's no predetermination argument that may be made is two resolutions for you to one to approve and one to deny, and then you folks could, then there's, I'm saying this for Teresa, but there's no predetermination argument she may have or any of the neighbors may have, that you've predetermined it without taking a vote. So I'm happy to do that. But if, you know, that's up to you folks as to what you want to do tonight. You have 45 days from the close of the public hearing to issue your written determination.
Yeah, our next scheduled event is the
back of the
27th.
Yeah.
Is the 4th Monday.
When is
our January planning board meeting? I'm sorry, I moved back a week because of the holiday.
Federal holidays,
so it's the 27th.
Okay. January 27th?
Correct.
Okay.
7 o'clock. Thank you, Carla. The other thing that I was going to ask Carla to speak to was the fact that Teresa had referenced early on that they provided a short form EAF.
Mm-hmm.
And the belief was that this was to be considered a type 2 action and therefore exempt. And I wanted to ask your opinion on that.
Sure. I would agree that this would be a type 2 action, which means there is no review by this board under SEACR. The type 2 law changed in January and added a few additional items that take it out of environmental review. And there are... Teresa put one in, but I saw there might be a second, agricultural management practices. There's two ways that this can fall under a type 2 action. That being said, any environmental concerns is outside the purview of this board.
Thank you, board, for the notion that this is to be considered a type 2 action and therefore exempt for the Z Farm brewery application. A motion?
So
the motion by Reed, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Eric. I guess we'll call the roll tonight.
So me?
Yeah, you should say.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Andrew?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Berg?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Jensen?
No.
Chairman Zimmerman.
Yes. Motion carries. So, board, what would you like to do next? Do you have additional information that you
need so
other than what we've identified?
No. What would that be? I'll ask John. You're satisfied with why you use the art lighting?
Yeah, I don't see any problems with the ball cast so far.
So I have 7 items. Based on largely your prior account.
Okay. All right, hang on just a second. I'm getting slow.
Can I get two more applications?
One sec.
I'm ready.
I need all.
And it will include the final submission hours of operation.
Yeah, we had that.
I'm going to make sure it's on there.
Yeah. I'll have that all in the resolution, Peter.
We did discuss it.
We did. Last time. 2 times ago.
Yeah, they were in the response. They may not be on the plan, so we can put them on the plan.
And just to, you know, to further let you know, I think the idea of an event is largely defined in what I read out of the guideline for review of local laws affecting farm operations which produce, prepare, and market crops for wine, beer, cider, and distilled spirits. This is from Ag and Markets, dated 1/18/2017. They seem to, on page 2 of this guidance, provide a definition of an event.
So, would you be willing to share that?
Yes. Marketing activities, for example, wedding receptions, parties, and special events. The department has concluded that on-farm wedding receptions, parties, and special events, for example, harvest festivals or distillery, brewery, cidery, and wine tastings, including charitable events held at farms which market their crops as wine, beer, cider, and distilled spirits, help market the farm's operations product. These activities are evaluated on a case-by-case basis to determine whether they are protected as part of the farm operation. The department interprets AML Section 301.11 to include such receptions, parties, and special events held on farm as part of a farm operation under certain conditions. The events, whether public or private, must be 1. Directly related to the sale and promotion of the beverage produced at the farm from at least 51% of on-farm produced grain, hops, grapes, fruit, or juice. 2. Incidental and subordinate to the retail sale of the beverage on site. 3. Hosted by the farm or the customers of the farm, not outside, unrelated parties. And 4. Feature the beverage produced at the farm from at least 51% of the on-farm produced grain, hops, grapes, fruit, and juice. The department considers the event to be incidental only when the gross annual sales from non-beverage portion of event sales, including any facility, rental, vendor fees, admission fees, catering charges, sales of other alcoholic beverages, etc., does not exceed 30% of the gross total gross sales from the retail sale on-site of the beverage produced at the farm from at least 51%, so on and so forth, at such events, plus the retail sale of any other crops, livestock, stock or products, or beverage-related food products that may be sold at such events. So what that's basically saying is it's 30% of your sales. It can't be any more than that. That makes it incidental. So that's a good, I think, basis for a definition. So the 7 items, to summarize quickly, safety and seal of the existing, what was it, Teresa?
The well.
Yeah, that's it, well. I didn't have that down, okay. No livestock within 50 feet of the well is the second thing. 3, identify maximum capacity of buildings and event attendance, and that would also probably lead us to then a maximum bathroom situation as well. 4, location of waste truck transfer and detail catchment area and template turning radiuses. 5, parking spaces must be shown at 200 square feet. Show the food truck parking. 6, hours of operations. I think we have those from your past notes. And then 7, define an event.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Say that again. Oh, you're planning an event.
Yep.
Sorry, I just couldn't hear it. Right.
And I think that was largely done in that excerpt from the guidance.
Yes,
we're addressing that. Yeah. And you're going to do a little research on the amplified music for us. Right?
Yes, we'll check that with Ben Marcus and see what the origin of that is.
And that's the basis for the resolution, right?
Or anything further?
That covers the list that I have. So.
No, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
I'm
going to take a 2-minute pause before we go to our next item.
I broke my ankle.
Oh, I broke my ankle like 4 months ago.
It's like when I sit still for a while, it's like I feel, yeah, I feel like I'm really mad at it.
That is. All right, it's a little long. It goes through. I tried to capture everybody. It's not as like sloppy as it goes through. It works. It works. You got to read from the beginning.
It does. Yeah. No, that's great.
All right, and I was anticipating the very end, the last page of the paper, so I had to go to the back, because then I was trying to, I didn't know we were going to have a ton of votes, so I was trying to leave that.
Okay. Right.
So, yeah, I don't have any paper for the next
one. I can get it.
Yeah, I can use a pen.
I don't know if it
the fire start.
That would have to be something we have to deal with, though. It's got to be on the list.
Is that on building, or is that here?
It's on building. That would be in the building permit.
Your name is Carla?
It is.
And you work for who?
My law firm.
Oh, you're a lawyer?
Yes. Yeah, I'm the lawyer for the town.
You're lawyer for the town. I had no idea.
Yes.
So I
thought, yep.
Okay. All right. I'm just curious.
This is for patent property, not correct. And
Applewood Parkway.
This is the most straightforward.
Thank you.
We have a lovely parking lot.
This is this is the most straightforward subdivision I've ever seen. It's really straight. It's dead flat. It's a rectangle. It's three lots. They all keep on. It's just.
Sounds like he should have been hit.
Seth? Okay. Tom Hutchins, Hutchins Engineering, Queensbury here, on behalf of Chris Patton and that property development. The applicant is under contract with the South Point Park Methodist Church to acquire a piece of vacant property that the church has owned since the very early 70s, and they're ready to divest themselves of and what it is it's part
church.
In the very early 70s, the church acquired one piece that basically was all of the interior of this block without this one corner lot. Maplewood Parkway wasn't there at the time. There was a sub railroad here and a sub railroad here. And in the early 70s, the church built their education wing. I'm not exactly sure when Maplewood Parkway was actually constructed through, but the church had owned property on both sides of the road. This piece they divested to a kind of house some years ago. This piece they've constructed the pastor's residence. That was probably 10 to 12 years ago. And what they wish to do is the applicant is under contract to purchase the 2.4 acres directly across the street from where the church is, leaving the church on a 5-acre piece
on the west side.
On the west side. This property could lays out nicely through a 4-lot subdivision. The applicant has one that's interested in a larger lot, so we've shown 3-lot subdivision, a 1-acre lot, and 2.7-acre lots. It's very, very flat. It's sand. It's very calm water. It's relatively straightforward residential.
Yeah, from a staff perspective, this has got to be like the most straightforward subject that I've ever seen.
Public water on the place up, right?
Correct.
I appreciate the applicant or who represents it. Not trying to maximize making 3 lots. Three reasonable lots, but very nice.
And have you done soils information?
We have.
At this point?
We have.
What's the perk like?
It's vast. It's not too fast.
Does it need to be amended?
It does not need to be amended.
Yeah, it would be the problem if anything. It's too fast.
And I did this one here several years ago, and it was the
which one
the soil was.
Is that the habitat?
No, this is the parcel passage.
And that's owned by the part of the property.
That's owned by the church. A separate parcel. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Soil for something happening.
So it's a roof expansion.
No.
It's
not.
It's good. It's not too fast. Less than 30 seconds. Less than 30 seconds. Right.
Less than a minute. Less than a minute. For a minute. These all.
This is a good chunk of stuff.
That room out of the corner is
three sand.
I mean,
phenomenally well.
Very.
It was farmland for many years. The brick house was the Colby house, and it was all farmland.
This is like.
Yes, sir.
1950 suburbia here.
I'm easily confused, so I just want to make it clear. Your client is patent property development, not patent property management.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Correct.
contract with the church to purchase, there is an authorization form signed by the chair of trustees in your package. And my understanding, they have a closing scheduled for later this week.
And I would disclose that we actually represent the church in that closing, and it is scheduled for Friday.
Oh, and I would disclose that I'm also a 27-year member of the church, so I know what people play. And I'm a 54-year
member. It's closing Friday.
I went there.
All right, so I have a question for you. There was a note here on the map for lot number one in the, what would be the north sideline. It says propane access cover. What's that?
That's the propane tank that serves the parsonage building.
So as part of this subdivision, that's going to be moved onto the property?
That's going to be, they have made an agreement as part of the deal that will be either relocated, relocated to a compliant portion on this parcel. Ideally, these folks are hoping that these folks bring gas line down Midwood Park. There's no gas.
In which case, there'd be no reason to move that building.
But if they don't bring
the gas line down,
it will be
really like to have people's utilities on their own property. So, okay.
Or what other kind of information or details would you need to see? You need to see contours?
We have two.
There's a 100-foot contour
that's dead flat.
There's two contour lines.
You can lay a level on this ground, but I think the bolt will go right to center.
I'm sorry, I kind of skipped over you too. Did you have other ideas?
Yeah. The propane cover was a good catch. I got to give John credit for that one.
I saw that too. Once in a while, I come up with something clean.
Even a blind squirrel.
No, I think this is very straightforward. I had first seen this and did a boundary line adjustment to, was it a two-lot subdivision?
That's correct. These pieces were land hooked, and last June we separated this 2.5
yes, that's what it was.
Churches remaining.
So they had done a previous two-lot subdivision to create this opportunity.
Well, I have to agree with Jim. This has got to be one of the most straightforward subdivision requests I've ever seen. And I've been around a little while.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not a whole lot of comments here.
Do you have enough information to set a public hearing?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you giving me a motion?
I make a motion that we set a public hearing for, and I don't have anything to look here. I folded it under.
You have the first available slot.
January 27th.
The Patton Properties.
Patton Properties, three lot residential subdivision for January, I don't know the date.
27th.
27th. At 7:01.
Before we go over that, would Rachel's go first, or would we have this go first?
I would, in deference to,
we should go first. I specifically said 7:01 for that reason.
I just want to make sure that we're not...
Yeah, because this will be, there won't be any comments on this.
If Rachel's been here before, we're moving you up because it's...
I'll make it deal. If the public comments for your project take more than half an hour, we'll have to make you sit down for a minute.
So I have a motion from John for a public hearing on January 27th, 2020 at 7:01. I'll second. And a second by Reed.
Yeah.
That's a controversial. And then,
Then the other thing I would consider is combining the preliminary and final in one application.
Don't we do that?
Do you have a separate final application?
Yes.
Form? I'll get that.
Yeah, get that in for January and.
We should move the governor approval and then the motion to.
I was remiss, Jim. I didn't ask you, do we have everything we need in your perspective?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Do you have any questions of us?
No, I don't.
It's one question for us, and why did it wait so long?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but
sorry.
I was entertaining.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is part of the deal.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. So just so preliminary and final at the public hearing, preliminary and final at the next meeting.
Yes.
Well, what you should do to, just as a procedure, put a cover letter with it requesting preliminary and final be combined.
Post the sign up.
Oh, that's right, yes. Post your public hearing sign.
Yeah.
Do we do notifications or do you do notifications?
We do notifications, but you put up the sign.
Okay, I'll put up the sign.
Just put it dead center right in the, like, the middle of lot two.
Make sure it's there, too.
How would we do the count?
Because we'll be looking.
There's people that drive by
the floor.
Yes.
Okay.
Not me.
Thank you, Bob.
Yes, I hope you have a nice Christmas.
You too.
So the last applicant,
is that? Yeah, well, no, he apparently is sick and even had to go to the hospital, I guess. So.
Ooh. And we created that much stress
on him? I wanted to bring everyone's attention that the Planning and Zoning Conference in 2020 is February 5th.
Right.
And
yeah. Sarah, make yourself available.
Let Kathy know your availability for the conference. As a reminder, it is an expectation that we attend so that we can maintain a high level of competency in education. Yes, February 5th, 2020.
All day.
Jim, do you have anything further?
No, just to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And
how's the
zoning is going to officially start in Penn's going to paper in January, so the January meeting you'll start seeing suggested revision. We're going to start in Article 1 and just work our way through.
And I will accept a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Ron.
I think Reed got the first. Mike got the second. So it's not the second first. Well,
happy holidays. What's your name?
Because I'm so slow.
Don't
let Jager do a polling in the board. It was just unanimous.
Party at Ron's house on Friday night, 7 o'clock.
Party at 5 o'clock at my house.
Hey, this is a busy season.
Yeah,
like,
that's
No,
carpet.
What?